on your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Donald Trump has concluded his meeting with officials at the White House after discussing an extension to the current ceasefire with Iran. It's been looking into the creation of a new 60-day truce, but linked to Tehran's nuclear program and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. David Sedney worked on defense for Central Asia in the Obama administration. He's been telling LBC both sides want to appear as the winners.
Really, the issue here is political will. Will Trump be able to move forward on something that he, in the end, is not going to be able to convincingly portray as a victory? And Iran is going to convey it as a victory for Iran. That's already clear. You've seen the banners already in the last week in the streets in Tehran. Iran will believe it's won and will trumpet a victory. And that's going to be hard for Trump and his supporters to take.
A Canadian man who sold poison online is being linked to the deaths of more than 100 people in the UK. Kenneth Laws admitted 14 charges of aiding suicide relating to victims in Canada. The British names have been added to his indictment, but he won't be prosecuted here. David Parfitt's 22-year-old son, Thomas, bought some of his products.
I want him to know who he killed. I want him to understand that he took away a young, promising life. And I want my day in court.
Two men in their early 20s have been sent to prison over a fatal road crash which involved a car doing nearly 140 miles per hour in a 30 zone. They inhaled laughing gas and went through a red light in Manchester before hitting the car of a 50-year-old man in March. Vladimir Putin has been insisting there's no way to tell whether a drone which crashed into flats in Romania was Russian without any evidence. Two people were injured when it happened in a border area. Sakir Starmer has condemned the Kremlin's forces. The Ukrainian war journalist David Kirichenko has been talking to LBC.
When the pressure is applied on Putin, he will typically lash out and try to escalate against Ukraine's partners. And so we're certainly likely to see that the more desperate the Russians get on the battlefield, the more that they're going to try engaging in hybrid warfare and sending more drones into European airspace.
And in sport, Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open. He was beaten in five sets by the teenager João Fonseca. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed down 9 points at 10,416. The pound will buy $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland and staying dry for the rest of the UK as well overnight. We'll see a low in the far north of around 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
But I have a plan, and it's a big plan, and it's a huge plan, and it's a plan, and it's a plan that's tremendous and strong and very, very big. Antarctica's doomsday glacier is tipping towards total eclipse. No. Antarctica's doomsday glacier is tipping towards total collapse and could lose its entire ice shelf this year, scientists have warned. But as they are experts in possession of facts, nobody was remotely interested in anything they had to say. The Thwaites Glacier is one of the largest glaciers in the world, covering an area equal to Great Britain, wherever that is. If it were to collapse completely, it would wreak havoc on the world's coastal regions by raising sea levels by 65 centimetres. And I will translate European surrender centimetres for His Majesty's feet and inches. It's so easy. An idiot could do it. You simply double it and add 32 to get from centimetres feet. So let's see now. 65 times 2 is 120. And 120 plus 32 is 162. If that glacier melts, sea levels will rise by 162 feet. Can you believe that?
No.
Scientists say that the wall of ice holding the glacier back from falling into the sea is collapsing. It's big. How big is it? The wall of ice holding the glacier back is as big as London. Not the city of London, Greater London, from the centre of London all the way out to the bleep hole areas at the end of the tube lines, barren and lifeless like the glacier itself. This 350-metre deep wall of ice is holding back the glacier from falling into the sea, but the Antarctic's warming oceans are now thinning, which makes scientists alarmed. One scientist put it like this. And it's thinning because the water below is warming. And it's not got to do anything, and it's not got anything to do with climate change, because that is a scam dreamed up by people who are enemies of the oil and gas industries, who are our friends. Buy more oil and gas. Keep your addiction going, because only by doing that will those hard-pressed trillion-dollar companies be able to keep the money flooding in like the river waters will flood into your living room and float your telly out the window. I mean, actual patriots in Union Jack socks say we should maintain our addiction to drilling for oil in the North Sea and transport it to refining plants in the South Asia, where they are equipped for the kind of oil that's in the North Sea, and then we will ship it back and then set fire to it. I mean, what about that doesn't make sense when compared to using a turbine that can harness the wind? And assuming we don't do anything about climate change, which we won't, because oily charlatans in the pay of oil companies will demand that we don't do anything that might interrupt the money flooding into their paymasters' pockets, then that glacier will fall into the sea and it'll send sea levels rising by 65 centimetres, which, fact fans, is 26 inches. But that will only affect areas close to water. But as being close to water is the reason that pretty much every city on Earth is located where it is, that means everyone. And for the word from the man on the street, I went straight to the comments section in this story, which I'm sure would be illuminating. Stupid. Top three comments when I looked. Give it a rest. Ever heard about the boy who cried wolf? Not really the same, though, because the boy who cried wolf was pranking villagers that a wolf was attacking his flock. And when a wolf really did attack his flock, the villagers thought he was joking, so they didn't help. So different. Unless this person thinks that the world's scientists are pranking us. The next one was, been beating that old drum for 100+ years, it's still there. Well, the Thwaites Glacier collapse was first discovered through satellite imaging, so not 100+ years ago. And of course this old gem. The explanation from an exasperated, superior, eye-rolling, self-confessed expert who can't get their head around why scientists are so gullible. He explained it like this. Put an ice cube in a glass and fill the water and fill to the brim with water. You will have the answer. And if he, and I assume it was a he, had read the story or just looked it up, they'd know that the Thwaites Glacier is not floating on sea. The wall of ice holding it back is. The glacier itself is on land. So it's like filling a glass to the brim with water and then dropping a huge ice cube in. And the water going all over the place will give you the answer. Of course, it might not have been a human writing that. Could have been a bot, paid for by the oil and gas industry. I believe that there's a lot of it about. In which case, that bot's an idiot.
Correct.
But that's the climate. What about the weather? Well, the weather is bringing out the best in people. The weather is bringing out the worst in people, as a little light heat seems to make people even more objectionable. Even more objectionable than they would ordinarily be. There was anarchy as selfish sunseekers caused havoc across heatwave Britain this week, screams the Mail. Hordes descended on the nation's beaches, local beauty spots and waterways teeming with sensitive wildlife, which they kicked out of the way so as to have a swim and put their towels down because it's my right and I'll do what I want. You know, those people.
Oh, fabulous.
As sunseekers gathered in the heat, fights broke out, bottles were thrown at police, teenage gangs ran wild and grown-ups had to be pulled apart because someone had disrespected their space or something. And everyone made sure to take all of their rubbish home with them because they are patriotic and they love their country. No, of course they didn't. People with the Union Jack tattooed on their foreheads and wearing an England football shirt left everything they'd brought with them right where they were sitting because cleaning up is some Eastern Europeans' job. Except Eastern Europeans don't do that for us anymore after we told them to get out of our country because they were taking the jobs that we didn't want to do.
Damn it!
Furthermore, British patriots decided to tear up the place by parking where they shouldn't, blocking access for emergency vehicles. They swam where they shouldn't because water birds were raising their young. And they broke into Lidos that were closed because of what the authorities politely called an altercation, which was presumably caused by the type of person that would break into a Lido. Morons. We're surrounded by morons. And it seems that as the temperatures rise, their boiling points are reached and they explode in a fury of shouting and flying fists. And of course, everyone gets to mark out their territory. And as the place gets more crowded, a certain element will insist on keeping an ever larger part of it. And then there's the ones that demand that they have their own musical accompaniment and turn their speakers up to full volume so everyone can hear what cool taste in music they haven't got. I think we function better when it's cold and raining. When we're kept indoors by the weather. When we can do less harm. So let's see what we've got in store, and then you can make your decisions on whether you go out in the weather or not. Tomorrow. At first, plenty of warm sun, then rain. Heavy at times. It will start in the usual place before moving across England and Wales overnight. And when I say the usual place, I mean specifically Glasgow, which always has its own weather, which I can check for you while you wait. One moment, please. Aha. Well, it's not raining at the moment in Glasgow. Can you believe that?
No.
It will be raining tomorrow, and raining on Sunday, and raining on Monday, and raining on Tuesday, and raining on Wednesday, and raining on Thursday, and raining on Friday, and raining on Saturday, and raining next Sunday, and raining on Monday the 8th, and Tuesday the 9th, and Wednesday the 10th, and Thursday the 11th. Wow. That's two full weeks of raining every day. Oh, well, never mind. And then for everybody else, for Sunday to Tuesday, fresher with a mix of sunny spells and showers with the potential for fewer morons. But don't bank on it. Would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No.
First 2 weeks in June. Showers or longer spells of rain, drier in the south and the east, wetter in the north and the west, particularly in the northwest. And then drier through the second week of June, temperatures will be near normal. And then, second half of June. Blimey, it's the end of June already. It's practically time to put the garden furniture away for another year because Jesus' birthday is just around the corner. Second half of June. Drier and more settled with some showery interludes. Temperatures likely to be above average with some very warm spells in places. Temperatures likely to be above average with very warm spells in places. We'll take it. Lee says, I heard one of your radio show samples out in the wild, so to speak, twice on the bounce in two different consecutive TV shows. The first was the film Mummy Dearest. The second was the Andy Warhol Diaries documentary. I wouldn't say my life is now complete, but I just thought I'd let you know. Well, I appreciate it, Lee. I'm a very big fan. Let's have Crouch End. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Brian.
Well, I'm the first one on.
It sounds like you.
Yes, and you've been talking about weather, and I've been talking to my brother who lives in Oakland, California, and telling him that the temperature's been in the 80s Fahrenheit for the last week or so, 80s and 90s, and over there it's been in the 60s. And but more importantly, my brother is a retired psychiatrist, and he has delivered this, he's given this cognitive test to hundreds of times. And there are no mathematical questions anywhere on that particular test.
Oh, the test that is right. Okay, you're talking about Donald Trump did an executive test.
He said, "Well, I do well and things, so let's do it." And I got everyone right. And these are tough questions. These are tough questions. You know, they say take a number, any number. Okay, I'll take 99. Multiply times 9, okay? Divide it by 3, good. Add 4,293, that's good. Divide by 2, subtract 93, divide by 9, what is your answer? Now, they go a little slower than that, but not much. I don't want to waste a lot of time. But there aren't a lot of people that get it right. I got it right?
Yeah, you got it right. You got it 100% right. Thanks for the good news, Brian. And the answer is 42, always. 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060973.
LBC.
Feel every pass and every goal. Discover the next generation of televisions at John Lewis. Experience the full clarity of the latest RGB and OLED technology. Brought to you by some of the world's best brands. Price matched against 25 leading retailers with a 5-year guarantee on all TVs. Your best view of every game is available right now at John Lewis. It's football upgraded. T's and C's and exclusions apply. See johnlewis.com for details.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This September, the world's top tennis players return to London for the 9th edition of the Laver Cup. From the 25th to the 27th, Team Europe face off against Team World at one of the capital's most iconic venues, the O2. It's your chance to see the biggest names, including Carlos Alcaraz, Alexander Zverev and Ben Shelton, with more to be announced. Get your tickets for an unforgettable weekend of tennis at lbc.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
I am not one of your fans!
Here is a caller in Kensington called Jennifer. Jennifer.
Good evening, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
Have you coped with the hot weather?
No problem at all. I just didn't do very much.
I absolutely love it when it's hot and sunny.
Yeah, I don't know. When it gets above 80, then I think it's the decision is not to do anything. Don't go into town because the railways will close down and, you know, there'll always be some big, massive problem. So I just do nothing. Better.
Well, on Bank Holiday Monday, we'd already discussed it a few days before.
Mm.
My friend Janet and I decided to go to Margate. We hadn't been...
Uh-oh.
For a few years.
Uh-oh.
But when it only took an hour and 45 minutes from Victoria, but unfortunately, no, it stopped at every stop, but the train wasn't packed going down, and it was empty coming back.
Hmm.
It came out the train station, I said to Janet, I hope the beach is not going to be like sardines, but it wasn't. It was only half full, and everybody was spread out, so there was loads and loads of space to sit on the sand.
I find all this surprising. Margate on a bank holiday Monday, and there's nobody there.
Well, even though it was half term, it wasn't till Tuesday when I read the Metro and saw the pictures inside the paper that Bournemouth and Southend were rammed.
Yes.
But Margate wasn't. I mean, because Margate goes on to Broadstairs to the right, and it goes down to the left. I don't know where it goes, but it goes for miles. But anyway, it was lovely. We actually got on the beach about 2 o'clock. We were able to hire deck chairs and umbrellas.
But let me ask you a question about this.
Sure.
What do you do on the beach all day? I mean, what is there to actually do?
Well, we actually caught up on lots of things that both of us have been doing during the week.
Because
we've both very good social lives, although we're now retired.
Mm-hmm.
And we just were having a laugh. And we took our own lunch with us. You know, we took salad and fruit salad.
Did you
paddling in the sea. It was very cold.
Uh-oh.
Warning.
You didn't go in the sea, did you?
No. We didn't go in the sea. Right. I said, Janet, it's not summer yet. It's still spring. And there's no way I'm going to go for a swim. It's just too cold.
Never mind about the cold, Jennifer. If you go into the sea today, you're in for a brown surprise.
No, Margate, where we go is very, very clean and very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, it's still clear and it's warm, but it was just too cold. Yeah. We only stayed walking along the seashore for about 15 minutes. And I said to Janet, my feet are getting cold. I have to get out. So we came out. And what we did was we brought our deck chairs and umbrellas further down because the tide was right out, so there were sandbanks. So we brought our umbrellas and deck chairs further down near the sea with our bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked along the seashore, and we were collecting unusual pebbles and shells, and we collected loads. It was a lot of fun.
Right, but can I ask, Jennifer, is this actually going anywhere, or are you just telling me about your nice day out by the sea?
No, I mean, you were talking about rubbish that people left.
Ah, yes.
And stuff. Well, around about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a lot of people were leaving the beach to go home, so they'd obviously been there a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And the amount of rubbish that they left behind.
It is amazing. People.
I mean, I was absolutely appalled. I mean, everything, babies, dirty nappies, not even in a nappy sack. And the amount of plastic that was in the water. And we were pulling all this stuff out the water. There was bath towels in there.
Oh, don't touch it with your bare hands, Jennifer.
Well, the thing is, we washed them afterwards. We had a great big bottle of water with us, so, you know, and I've got always carry hand sanitizer.
Bleach and a flamethrower, I think, would get the ick off your hands. Anything less, and it's probably still there.
You know, it's the kind of rubbish that they're throwing in. Cardboard boxes and old shoes, and there was, children's buckets and spades, and I just think, what is going on with these people?
What is going on with these people? We're surrounded by morons, Jennifer. I want you to keep that in mind at all times and act accordingly. All right.
It's absolutely disgusting. And then later on, about 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, you've got other people coming down, the younger generation, and they've got these great big speakers.
Oh, no. Those people.
Everybody's playing different types of music, blaring out in the air. We just came off the beach. We couldn't take it anymore.
Couldn't stand it anymore. No, quite right. Best to stay indoors at all times, Jennifer. All right, thanks for that. Cheers, my dear. And a nice day out in the sea. Didn't get attacked by seagulls, not from what I just heard. Lucky there. Yeah, the amount of rubbish that people just chuck about the place is absolutely incredible. I went to Kew Gardens. Oh, it is such a delight. And people are starting to treat Kew Gardens just like it's a park, like it's the recreation ground, like it's the high street. There didn't used to be rubbish all over the place in Kew Gardens. In fact, you could go there for an entire year and never see any rubbish at all. Now it's all over the place. Hey, people, wake up. You're not in your backyard now, you know. You take your rubbish away with you, for crying out loud. It's not a park, it's a gardens. And there's all kinds of rubbish, like empty crisp packets and screwed up bits of tissue paper and, like, newspaper pages and all sorts of stuff. It makes me want... Well, okay, it All right. I was going to say it makes me want to kill people, but that's probably a little bit strong. It makes me want to have a good, strong word with the people who are responsible. Or, more accurately, it makes me want to have the police have a good, strong word with the people who are responsible. Because they've got a blooming police guard driving around Kew Gardens now. That's a new thing to my eyes as well. Only in the last couple of years have I seen a police car, for crying out loud, driving around Kew Gardens. Why? It must have been in response to morons. Because if everybody behaved themselves like the it were gone when I were all that, people used to behave themselves. You can remember behaving yourself, can't you?
No.
And they used to take their rubbish home with them. Or at the very least, just walk a couple of yards and put it in a blooming bin. I was in Regent's Park last year. And there was a bench which I sat on. And there was the detritus from what looked like a meal for four from a local burger takeaway. And about 10 yards away was an enormous bin. And did they walk 10 yards to that enormous bin?
No.
No, of course not. They just left it where they were sitting and walked away. And these are people, I bet if you collared them and you asked them, do they love their country, they would probably want to punch your lights out for even thinking that they didn't. They'd be halfway up a lamppost, zip-tying a flag up there, and if you asked them whether they loved their country, they'd explode with rage before leaving every bit of item, all their stuff that they brought with them, you know, their burger and their sandwiches and their cola drink and all the rest of it, right there on the ground, and then just waddle off, and that's a job well done. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. They maintain that they love their country, but they don't maintain their country. And that seems to be getting worse, like much worse, all the time. If there is a sign on a train that says, please, 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 I mean, they even use the word please, please do not put your feet on the seats, then you can absolutely guarantee that the person that is sitting next to it will have their feet on the seats. What the hell is wrong with people? But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Rick says, what's a Lido? Oh, come on, Rick. It's a song by Boz Scaggs. You're not hitting with it at all. Wanstead. Hello, Sophie.
Hello.
Sophie.
How are you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Now, I'll tell you how I am, but so remind me, it's about the tennis and a genius idea to keep cool, but... As you were talking about people leaving rubbish, I'll tell you what's wrong with people. People are wrong with people. People are just a problem because they've forgotten all etiquettes, good manners.
I don't think they've forgotten it. I don't think they ever learned it in the first place. They thought about it and then came to the conclusion that that was not a thing for them because they are tough and... I don't know, superior? That's other people's jobs to keep things tidy. I'll just drop whatever it is that I've finished with in my hand on the floor and then waddle off, and that is the end of the matter.
I just think it's disgusting. If we spent a whole week without the dustbin men, the cleaners, the street sweepers, mm-hmm. we'd absolutely then start to value these people.
We'd be knee-high in detritus.
Exactly. You shouldn't treat people well because of their status or how much money they earn, you should treat them well because they're human beings. And if you want to be a nice human being, you treat other people nicely.
I'll tell you what else is new to Kew Gardens is foxes. I've been going there for decades and I've never seen a fox until relatively recently. And now they approach you like pigeons do. You know, when you unwrap a sandwich, pigeons will, like, and ravens and all the rest of it, they'll come right up to you, wait, because they know that human beings, when they start rustling their bits of paper, that food is often thrown to them. But now foxes are doing that. And that, I think, is a big problem, because foxes now have got used to stupid morons throwing them food. And so they've become very, very bold, and they come right up to you and expect it now. And pretty soon, they're not going to wait. They're not going to be polite and frightened of us. They will find out that if they attack us, we will run away. And then we'll be in trouble because of morons.
The morons who put their phones on speaker and have really loud conversations, put their feet on the seat bus. People have no sense of decorum.
I just don't get it. I just don't see why, or how rather, that people can do that without thinking, I shouldn't really be doing this. I mean, it doesn't even occur to them, because it doesn't make them feel discomforted at all. If I put my feet on a train seat, I would not be able to stop the noise in my head from shouting at me that I shouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be able to enjoy it. Same with turning music up late at night. If I'm disturbing someone, I can't enjoy it, so I don't. What I can't imagine is what these people are thinking while they're doing it. Nothing at all, I would imagine.
Oh, normally I'm very polite and say to people, I don't need to listen to your conversation.
Uh-oh.
But once I had an alarming reaction from a man who was listening to the conversation on full volume at the back of the bus. There were only a few of us on there, and we were approaching Stratford on the bus. And I did say to him, it's very selfish, you're not in your living room. And he started shouting, saying, I can do anything I want.
It's my right, I can do what I want. Those people.
And I said to him, there's no point in being suited and booted if you have no manners. You have no manners. And I walked off.
Sophie, you are lucky to be alive.
I mean it. No, but this was just intolerable, intolerable. Yeah. Do you want to hear my genius hack for staying cool?
What, is it a long story or a short story?
Very short, but I will say I'm very depressed because Novak Djokovic lost, and a commiseration to all Djokovic.
Oh, the tennis.
Boring.
I don't know anything about that.
I think I jinxed him because the person who beat him, I said he's going to be a future champion. And then, of course, he beat the greatest.
Right.
But so I do not like cold water. But a couple of years ago, I started putting it in the freezer, which is lovely because it melts very slowly. And you can put it against your pulse points and cool yourself down. And I was standing at the bus stop with one of my pupils a couple of weeks ago. And he said to me, Miss, do not fill it up with water. He said, half fill it up with water, lay it on its side in the freezer, and then in the morning, fill the other half with water. And, of course, that means the water you've just put in cools down, stays cool, and the ice melts slowly. And ta-da, you have a very refreshing bottle of cold water.
Oh, right.
I know, he's brilliant at science. So
That's pretty good. How is that any different from keeping the bottle or the cup upright? Because you would still have half of it, unless you're going to tell me that more of the water would be in contact with the ice.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's physics and chemistry involved.
Oh, well, in that case, we don't wish to know anything about it. Thanks a lot, Sophie. Nobody is remotely interested in experts and their so-called facts. We're all about feelings now, baby. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's just past 10:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
Donald Trump has concluded his meeting with officials at the White House after discussing an extension to the current ceasefire with Iran. It's been looking into the creation of a new 60-day truce linked to Tehran's nuclear program and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Two men in their early 20s have been sent to prison over a fatal road crash while doing nearly 140 miles per hour in a 30 zone. They inhaled laughing gas and went through a red light in Manchester before hitting the car of a 50-year-old man in March. And workers at the Royal Mail have voted to accept an offer on pay and conditions. Members of the Communication Workers Union have voted in favour of a 4.5% wage increase. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland and staying dry for the rest of the UK overnight. There could be some rain in the far northwest towards dawn, warm in the southeast, a low elsewhere of around 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, we've got some great deals for you to make the most of, so you can secure your dream holiday and get the best choice of rooms and hotels. Book now with just a £60 deposit per person. Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. Package holidays you can trust. Up to natural protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Now, listen carefully. I want you to think of selling your car. Who's going to buy that car? Keep thinking. Struggling to know where to look? On Motorway, there are 7,500 verified dealers who are ready and waiting to bid on your car. It's not magic, it's Motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
The Hillary's mid-season sale is on, with up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, for a limited time only, there's a huge extra 15% off everything. That's 15% off every blind, every curtain, every shutter, and our stylish garden pergolas too. Don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the extra 15% off ends the 1st of June. Conditions apply.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Are you trying to be funny? Because I'm all out of laughs.
Jimmy and Rich and various others mentioning the buffalo that looks like Donald Trump. Did you see that buffalo that looks like Donald Trump? The poor thing, at 700 kilograms, it almost weighs as much as him too.
Don't be rude.
That is very rude. Here's that story. A rare albino buffalo in Bangladesh, nicknamed Donald Trump for its distinctive blonde tuft, and it actually does, it really does look like his toupee.
I don't wear a toupee.
It does look like a bull toupee. A buffalo in Bangladesh, nicknamed Donald Trump for its distinctive blonde tuft, has been spared from sacrifice following a last-minute government intervention. The nearly 700-kilogram animal had already been sold for ritual slaughter when the authorities stepped in. The intervention was prompted by security concerns, which arose from a surge of the public's interest in the buffalo ahead of the Thursday festival. Home minister said the orders are for the buffalo to be spared. A buyer will be refunded, and the animal be relocated to the National Zoo. Well, we should put Donald Trump maybe in the National Zoo.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the President of the United States. Don't ever talk to the President that way.
Let's see now. Kent. Hello, Michael. Dover.
Yes, hello. I worked for the railway for about 30 years.
Oh, yes.
And I was always amazed at how regularly I'd be reminded that there are so many morons roaming around in the public domain.
Yes.
And you're talking about litter, and I've got three examples I'd like to give you. One, you'd get some clown to sit there and with an old railway ticket, rip it up into small pieces, less than 1/4 inch squares, and then throw it on the platform. And
like confetti.
Yeah. And there'd be a bin just a couple of feet from them.
Of course there are.
And I'd ask them, I said, excuse me, but can you put that in the bin? Well, why should I? I said, well, why should I come along and have to sweep it up because you couldn't be bothered to put your waste in the bin that's provided? And they'd sort of get a bit uppity about it and refuse to do it. And I used to say, well, you've got a choice. Either you pick it up and put it in the bin and you travel on the next train, or if I have to pick it up, you leave the station now and don't travel. So, obviously, I win the day.
Were you armed when you said that?
Only with my tongue.
Okay.
Another example is you get these clowns there, and I believe it's similar to wild cats and what have you. They always like to get up on a higher platform than just standing on the ground when they're resting. And these clowns would climb up onto the bench with their feet on the seat and sit on the back of the bench.
It makes them feel superior and king-like.
Yeah. So I'd walk along, I'd say, excuse me, but would you mind sitting on the bench? Well, I am. No. Sit on the bench the way it's designed. Feet on the platform, your rear end on the seat.
Exactly.
The seat's dirty. Yeah. That's only because people like you put your feet up on the seat. They're still on the seat. And again, they get a bit uptight about it. And I say, well, you've got a choice, same choice. You either sit correctly on the bench or you leave the station. Choice is yours.
Well, I had a similar experience on a train down to Brighton, and two women got on. And, well, one was an older lady and one was about sort of 20, something like that. And the 20-year-old immediately put her feet on the seats. And which I felt that the older lady didn't like that much. And then they started whispering on about Jesus, about how pious they are and how they were going to this carol thing and the church was going to be doing that and the other. And they were sitting next to a sign that said, please do not put your feet on the seats. And I just motioned over to the sign and I said, you know, you're best not to put your feet on the seats. And she said, my feet aren't dirty. And I said, what, did you float here? And she, from that moment on, was determined to keep her feet on the seats right until the train stopped in Brighton. And she did too. To the very second that... her knees must have been agony at that point because, you know, you can only take it for a certain amount of time before it starts to really hurt to have your legs out like that with your knees being pressed down. But she wouldn't. She was definitely not going to, give in because
Yeah. Can I give you just one more example?
Go ahead.
This ties in with this youth unemployment and inability find work and what have you. And again, I was a station supervisor, and it didn't bother me what I did. If something needed doing, I'd muck in. Anyway, I went round, checked the toilets, and came back through the waiting room and someone had spilled a fizzy drink somewhere. So I went and got a mop bucket and a mop, came back and I was mopping the floor and there's five teenagers sat on the other side of the waiting room, and they're sniggering away, and it became apparent I was the subject of their amusement.
Yes.
I engaged in conversation with them, and it transpired that they would never do demeaning work such as what I was doing. And I said, well, why not? And they said, well, it doesn't pay enough. I said, oh, I see, right. How much do I get paid? Well, I don't know. I said, well, how do you know it's not enough then? Well, it's not enough. And I said, well, okay, let me give you this as an example to think about while you're waiting for your train. I said, this job that you consider doesn't pay sufficient, I said, it provides me with a roof over my head. I drove quite a smart, large, newish car, which I actually bought from you. I said, I go skiing for 2 weeks a year, last week of January, first week of February, every year. I said, I don't take summer holidays because I own and fly my own hot air balloon. Hence what? The large car that I drive, because that tows my balloon around in the trailer. I said, no, that's not a bad lifestyle for a job that doesn't pay sufficient.
Michael, is this job still available?
But the point was, they make all these assumptions from their ignorance.
Yes.
And they still couldn't quite comprehend what I was saying to them.
But what they mean by that is that the job that they saw you doing doesn't pay enough to have a triplex pension penthouse in Dubai with a Ferrari and a Lamborghini in the garage. That's what they meant by that. And that's what they expect to achieve in life because they've seen it on YouTube.
Yeah, their aspirations don't have any reality or need for capability.
No. Well, rest assured that their lives will probably be considerably worse than yours from this moment on. Because if those are their expectations, then they are going to be sorely disappointed. Almost 99.999% of the time. But, you know, one person does win the lottery. It just, there's no point in talking to people about playing the lottery if you only talk to the ones that have won. All right, thanks a lot, Michael. Appreciate your diligence and hard work. 0345-6060-973. Rick says, I know Trump likes a pardon, especially for himself, but it appears that Bangladesh has now decided to pardon his bovine lookalike from being sacrificed, presumably in fear of being sued for
$8,737,540,000.
Approximately. The hair and facial expression are just fantastic. They do look very, very much alike.
Oh, shut up!
0345-6060-973. Let's see now. Sale in Cheshire. Louise.
Oh, hi, Nick. I think some shocks are in store. What I like to imagine, when I see youngsters bang, bang, bang with a ball in a shopping centre and I've got a slight headache, I imagine myself having a sharp sort of stick and actually bursting the ball with a stick and saying, I've got a headache, you know, go to the park.
Yes, there should be some kind of law about the amount of noise that children are allowed to make, because you can't talk to parents about it because they'll just go apoplectic. They'll go from naught to crazy in 6 seconds or less.
Don't you tell my child what to do.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. It seems right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but for the benefit of everybody else, like footballs and basketballs and swimming pools, that's a big one. They scream and they scream and they scream in swimming pools. They should be banned from this country.
Absolutely. Pigeons, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, okay, they delight in creeping up on pigeons, making them fly straight at people usually. And I like to think, the pigeons are going to grow when they see a child approaching them and they're going to start chasing the child.
Well, the pigeons, of course, have a perfect weapon at their disposal. They can just take off and, from above.
Yes, of course. The horrible stuff, yeah. And the last one is...
Yes.
When people have a habit of not moving out of your way, they come out of a shop, you're walking in a straight line where you've been in that straight line for about 4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they just walk out the shop, and they're amazed when they see somebody else in their way, and they won't move.
Yep.
So I'm trying to perfect walking through people, and that will give them a hell of a shock, wouldn't it?
Well, I think that walking should come with a test of some sort, like a driving test. Everybody should have their own indicators and brake lights. So that when they do slam on the brakes because they've just seen something extraordinary, like a pigeon, for instance, that I have literally seen people gather to photograph a pigeon in Kew Gardens. They were feeding the pigeon, you know, screwing up crisps or something and throwing it for the pigeon, and then photographing it on their iPhones as though they had never seen an item of nature before.
Oh, my God. They probably don't get out. They're too much on the computer. That's it. Never. Yeah. They're amazed when people are about. Their phones as well. They walk towards you with a face, like you say, in the phones.
Yeah.
And when you appear in front of them, they look bloody shocked.
Well, they'll be shocked when they bounce off the bonnet of your car, Louise, as they've walked into the road while staring at their phone without looking left and right, confident that their personal toughness will protect them from 2 tons of metal bearing down upon them. All right. Thanks a lot, Louise. Little by little, I do believe that we're sorting out the world. Am I helping yet?
No.
0345-6060-973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
The Labour Party, not for the first time, is wrestling with its future and wondering what its future might be, whether it even has one. Because the word which more and more Labour MPs under their breath are saying is extinction. And the question on their lips, the question that they are animating themselves with is, who should and can lead us out of this mess?
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we know the difference between investing and being invested. Investing is a transaction. Being invested is about the future you want to build. With our guidance, expert insights, and wealth of investment options, you can feel confident about your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
From the producers of Yellowstone.
Welcome to Texas Selling.
Beth and Rip are back.
A legacy is a beautiful thing.
A new original series.
But only if it survives.
Family is the only thing worth fighting for.
This life here is gonna work, isn't it?
We'll make it work.
I can make this a lot harder for all y'all.
Then peace will have to wait.
Dutton Ranch. Stream now only on Paramount Plus. T's and C's apply. Subscription required. 18 plus.
With Little Plus, say yes to making more of the moments you value this summer. And enjoy 15% off a selected range of deliciously juicy sausages. Perfect for the sunshine. We've got everything you need and more to make the perfect barbecue. Little. More to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV. Offer ends 3rd of June.
This September, the world's top tennis players return to London for the 9th edition of the Laver Cup. From the 25th to the 27th, Team Europe face off against Team World at one of the capital's most iconic venues, the O2. It's your chance to see the biggest names, including Carlos Alcaraz, Alexander Zverev and Ben Shelton, with more to be announced. Get your tickets for an unforgettable weekend of tennis at lbc.co.uk.
This is LBC. With Nick Abbott.
Are you stupid? Are you a stupid person? And you're just asking questions because you're a stupid person.
Just asking questions because I'm a stupid person. Only stupid people ask questions. Rob says the English should not be allowed outside unless it's raining. Yeah, well, that's a good point, Rob. We're at our best when it's raining, when we're hurtling from one building to the next under threat of a downpour. Then we don't have very much time to pick fights with strangers or to drop litter in the road. Good thinking, Rob. 0345-6060-973. Let's have Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Which glass is going, is it? I hadn't noticed that. You've picked that one up.
Noticed it. Right, I think it's going to take a while for the effects to be noticed in Merthyr Tydfil, Jeff.
Well, no, do you wait till it goes?
Well, yeah, exactly. Then we'll
you
be
wait
sorry.
Till it goes, people will pay attention then.
Yeah, they will.
Anyway, what I was going to ask you, you might know... You seem to know a lot of things.
A lot of things, yes. None of which are useful, by the way.
True.
What?
But the... where's Farage? Where is he? Why isn't he... You know, not a day would pass without him being on the telly, making a comment. He was in Merthyr three times, okay, up to the election.
Yeah.
And he was just here all the time. Come helicoptering in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's disappeared.
Yeah, it's like, where's Nigel? Exactly.
Remember the guy who stood for Caerphilly? He looked like an angry billiard ball.
No.
He's the new reform whip, chief whip in the Senate.
Right.
He got elected for Caerphilly area, I think, and he's gone in there. And I'm just wondering if you know, is it that he doesn't want it? It's a lot easier at a certain point, I suppose, to go into hiding, stand back, and let everything fall into place.
Blow over, yeah.
You know, I mean...
I'm just looking at a picture of this guy, and that I can confirm you are completely correct about him looking like an angry billiard ball. That is actually factually accurate, yeah.
Well, anyway, I have to tell you that this week, I went on, I can't remember the program. It was 5 o'clock-ish, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I can't remember who was on. Anyway, they were arguing about trying to get back into Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Like having another referendum. Mm-hmm. And I went steaming on about, you know, we should be having the discussion and nobody wanted it.
Not another referendum. You'd have to be off your chump to want another referendum.
We should have a second referendum.
Nobody wants a second referendum.
We should have a second referendum.
Anybody with the slightest possession of brains or any contact with reality would not want a second referendum.
We should have a second referendum.
Anyway, I foolishly said, Nick, that I'd voted twice in two referendums. And what had happened is that 50 years have taken place between the two, you know, the two events. It was way back in 1972. And I said, well, I voted in the first one, and then we had another one to confirm it. And they said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You were wrong. You were wrong. Mm-hmm. There was only one referendum. But what had happened over that period of time, the two political events had taken place in the sense that Edward Heath had taken the UK into Europe.
Yes.
And Harold Wilson had come along and so it was a sort of a political event. And then Harold Wilson came along with a confirmatory referendum to say yes, and it was pretty, you know, it was a 60-40 result sort of thing, where they said yes, we should be in the EU. Now over the years, I mixed the two up, and you know, they're having a go at me over it. And the next person on was none other than Malcolm from Bodmin.
No.
Who said, no, I got to quote him, right? That he said, Jeff from Merthyr is a very emotional man who drinks in the goose and cuckoo, right? And he actually said that. And I thought, how can I be emotional and lugubrious?
Well, that's... I think you can be, you can be lugubrious and emotional. It's just a certain particular type of emotion that is almost invisible on the face of the person that is experiencing it. But good work there, Jeff. I'm fraternising with stars now. Thanks a lot, mate. Here's that story. Yeah, where is Nigel? Where's Nigel? Somebody should send a search party out. Since news surfaced that Tetchy Fagash received a gift of £5 million from a cryptocurrency billionaire from Thailand, the leader of reformers argued that the money was for his personal security. Which is odd, because he received that money, and at the same time was telling us that the reason he cannot see his constituents face-to-face was that he was told by the Speaker's office that he should not have face-to-face surgeries for fear of his personal safety. And then the Speaker's office said that they told him no such thing. So there's been a change. And he offered another explanation, saying that it was a reward for campaigning for Brexit. A present, if you like. A good boy treat. His comments were made in a video interview with The Sun, who said, "Go on, Nigel, take your top off, love."
Disgusting.
They didn't. The very idea. Oh, now I'm feeling bilious. No offence. Meanwhile, Parliament's standards watchdog confirmed that Fagash was under investigation for not declaring his receipt of the £5 million, which came from Christopher Harborne, a crypto billionaire who lives in Thailand, which is outrageous on many counts. Don't those people in the Parliamentary Standards Watchdog realise who he is? He's Nigel for Blooming Raj.
I'm a nutcase.
And second, what says man of the people more than being given £5 million for something and it being so insignificant an amount that he forgot what it was given to him for? As anyone would if they were given £5 million from someone in Thailand. I mean, I get that all the time. Don't you? Fagash says that the gift was unconditional, was made before he won a seat in the general election in 2024, and that there was no requirement to declare it. And furthermore, he explained, "I'm Nigel Farage." Pah! Nice, though, to be given £5 million unconditionally. The person who gave it wanted literally nothing in return. It was, according to the latest explanation, a gift for having worked to get Brexit done. So it was given after the work was completed, but not as a payment, it was a gift. Not for something Fagash would do in the future, but for what he'd already done. And who hasn't had some billionaire benefactor give them millions of pounds for something that they had already done? No one. That's who. It's all perfectly normal, nothing to see here. Move along, sunshine, or you're nicked after we take control. Critics say that under parliamentary rules, the money should have been registered after the election, but these are just critics and are probably from the hard-left commie socialist purple-haired hippie party who have probably got a nose ring. Or worse.
Dreadful.
Actually, those critics were the Conservative Party, who dobbed him into Parliament Standards Watchdog, who will no doubt deliberate and, if they rule against him, will chastise Tetchy. And if more serious punishment is deemed necessary, they will berate him. And in particularly serious cases, they may even upbraid him.
Oh, no.
In writing. So while Reform and all the other parties were hyperventilating about Keir Starmer getting a free pair of glasses, Tetchy Fagash, millionaire man of the people, was getting 5 million quid from a billionaire in Thailand, and no one seems to care. Certainly not his cult fans. They don't mind what Tetchy does, as long as it upsets the libs. Kind of like Donald Trump.
I love the poorly educated.
I mean, there's more story. There's more to this, but I haven't got the time to squeeze it in before the news. Maybe I'll do it after the news. Who can tell? Me least of all. In other news, Paul says, "Nick, apparently keeping the country tidy is woke." Yeah, that's about right. That must be the thinking. Yeah, it's woke. What do you want to do that for? Bizarre, isn't it? That the very same people who sport tattoos of the Union Jack on their face are the very same ones who leave rubbish on the beach after they've finished and probably leave their deck chairs there if they've broken them. Because, you know, what's it got to do with them? What's it got to do with you? More like 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. And if you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. Robin in Crosby says, has anybody seen Nigel Farage lately? I reckon the count of dodgy dodgy crypto may have invested some of that 5 million donation to build a new secret underground bunker in Clacton, as that's obviously the last place anyone would think of looking for him. 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. Donald Trump has been holding a meeting with officials at the White House to discuss an extension to the current ceasefire with Iran. It's been looking into the creation of a new 60-day truce linked to the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz and Tehran's nuclear program. But the energy policy expert, Neil Quilliam, has been telling LBC Iran won't surrender control of the shipping route easily.
Any agreement, any memorandum that is agreed to is going to take some, you know, serious work and also, very importantly, serious sequencing of how, you know, the strait could be opened. It's not going to be sort of opened in a day. That would have to be sort of very carefully managed from both sides over an extended period of time because trust is so low.
The Congolese health minister says more than 1,000 suspected cases of Ebola have now been identified. The number's risen by just over 100 in a 24-hour period. A Canadian national has admitted to aiding suicide by selling lethal substances online to people across the world. 60-year-old Kenneth Law is being linked to more than 100 deaths in the UK, but won't be extradited to Britain because of legal rules. LBC's Helen Hoddenott has more.
Bereaved families in the UK tell us they're bitterly disappointed that Kenneth Law won't be brought here to face justice.
He needs to hear from the people that he has impacted. He needs to stand in a UK court and be held to account for the crimes in this country.
That's Adele Zainab Walton. Her sister Amy died in 2022. The Canadian judge has agreed to factor in Law's overseas offending when sentencing him, but families here are now calling for a public inquiry to get answers and prevent further deaths.
Nearly 2,500 homes and businesses in Kent have spent another day without water. Most are in the Whitstable area, although many people have had their supplies restored. South East Water has blamed incredibly high demands during the hot weather. And in sport, the Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta believes his side has what it takes to bring home the Champions League trophy tomorrow. The Premier League title winners will be facing the current holders Paris Saint-Germain in Budapest. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland and staying dry for the rest of the country overnight as well. There could be some rain in the far northwest towards dawn. It'll be warm in the southeast, but there'll be a low in Scotland of around 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC, from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Okie dokie!
Hi, Annie, how are you?
I'm super, thanks for asking. Alex in Witham says, hi, Nick, and his assistant... Fat Kamat? No, that doesn't read right. Hi, Nick, and his assistant. That's it. Following, Fat Camacho, president in Idiocracy. Is that the name? I should know that. Fat Camacho, the president in the film Idiocracy. He is building a UFC arena outside the White House in addition to the six-story underground military bunker. Did you have Trump turning the White House into a Bond villain lair on your bingo list? And if not, is it too late for that to be added? Yeah, I think it is, yeah. And I don't understand why Americans are so oblivious to the fact that he's not going to leave. No, I don't get it either. You know, I talk to American journalists, and they're absolutely confident that the midterm elections are a thing and that they're going to go ahead. Hey, journalists, wake up. It's a coup. Have you not noticed? He's not going. Why do they keep saying that he is? Mystery. It's a mystery. Brighton. Hello, John.
Hello, Nick. Yeah, I mean, I think it's looking like Trump is going to get a ceasefire, and it's all going to be fantastic and wonderful.
I have a plan, and it's a great plan, yeah, and it's a huge plan, and it's a plan that's very strong and huge and great.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look brilliant. I mean, like he's killed off the the Ayatollah, one of the Ayatollahs, and they're living in caves and that sort of thing. And it's going to be brilliant. I mean, you know.
What are you talking about, John? Are you being sarcastic?
No, maybe not. I mean, look,
are you not being sarcastic? Not really.
No, you don't, so you really do
think it's going to be great?
No, because you think about it, this is like chaos theory in action, isn't it? It's like, obviously there is chaos in all this.
Yeah.
But then there is going to be a fantastic.
You think there's some strategy behind it?
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
From the man himself, there is zero strategy.
No, you don't need a plan.
I'm afraid you do, John. When you start a war with a country, it's probably best to have some sort of plan rather than just wing it.
That's the normal thinking. That's the.
The grown-up way to behave, yeah.
Paralyze the world. You think about it, that the UK is going to be saved when Trump gets. I mean, if Trump gets a ceasefire, for the next month,
yeah.
Then that's going to save the Labour Party and the UK, isn't it? I think.
You've thought about that long and hard, have you, John? Saying that if we go back to where we used to be and get a worse deal than the one that Donald Trump's tore up, having given the Iranians the weapon that they didn't realize was in their hands, which is closing the Strait of Hormuz, and having only killed thousands of people, including hundreds of girls in a school, then that would be a great deal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but that's just me being negative. They've got far more power than they probably realize. But still, what if the straits open and the economy around the world starts to get better and get back to the way it was?
Yes.
Then it's all going to be fantastic. It's going to be great for the UK. And, you know, this is all going to be great for Trump. I mean, it's going to come out great for him, isn't it?
You keep saying the word great, John, as though you've really thought long and hard about this, but I don't think you've thought about it for a single solitary second. You appear to be just in love with Donald Trump, and whatever the dear leader does is okay by you as long as it upsets the libs. I mean, I know that Brighton is in the south of the country, but I didn't realise it was ding-a-ling territory. Alex, I've done that one. Ross says, I hope you don't mind, but the missus and I have taken you on holiday recently. Please see the attached photo. Unfortunately, you look a little dishevelled after 2 weeks in a camper van travelling up and down Western Australia. But in the age of AI, we thought we'd go analogue and take you to the Quokkas in person. And there's a picture of me next to an actual real-life Quokka. And it's so bad that it couldn't possibly have been done by artificial intelligence. And I mean that in a nice way. Huh. I'm shoulder to shoulder with an actual real-life enormous rat that looks very, very cute from the front. Although it is, it does have its head bowed. Now, I don't know whether that's in respect or it's just snuffling for food. But appreciate that, Ross. Thanks for taking me on holiday. Bristol, Tiago.
Oh, hi, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
So, I have three quite absurd things I've seen this week I wanted to talk about. Starting with RFK wrestling snakes on Dr. Oz Garden. Have you seen that?
No.
So it turns out, you know who Dr. Oz is at all?
He's a TV doctor of some sort in America, like a daytime TV doctor, right?
Very much. And, you know, he's been at times, I guess, criticized for promoting some alternative kind of medicine. So, you know, he does align with RFK when it comes to that kind of like,
I bet RFK has done a line as well.
I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats.
Off toilet seats.
Exactly. So then I guess in his older age, grabbing snakes by the neck. I mean, can you just grab his
neck? It's all neck.
Well, wrestling non-venomous snakes, you know, on your mate's courtyard.
What did he do that for?
That's exactly why I'm asking, because they were not venomous, so why remove them?
How big a snake was it?
You know, I would say probably about 90 centimeters, 80 centimeters each. There were two of them.
Oh.
Because they're a very brave man.
Like, yeah. Tiny, then?
Yeah, very much so. And they're kind of like, and then once they start tangling on each other, he keeps balancing them, kind of like just showing.
But that's not really wrestling, though. You can't wrestle with a snake that's about a foot long. I mean, you could pick it up and waggle it about a bit, but that's not what wrestling is to me.
No, it's more like an old man squatting and kind of like running his hand through the floor and grabbing into something.
Yeah, see, this is what I miss by not paying any attention to social media. I just missed all of this. And boy, am I lucky.
Oh, well, it can be quite entertaining, I guess. But to think that the health policy of a whole, the most developed nation in the world is in the hands of a man like that.
That bloke, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning. The next one is about this Florida woman. Her name is Catherine Thomas. And the video body cam footage is being released of her being stopped. So there was like a campaign to target drivers that are texting and driving or using the phone and driving.
Oh, yeah.
She gets pulled over by the police.
Oh, no, this I did see, yeah. She said, and the policeman said, you had a phone in your right hand, and she held up her arm to show that she didn't actually have a hand on that arm.
And she still got fined.
Well, for a bad attitude, I think, more than anything else.
Honestly, I plead to the audience, if you haven't seen the video, just look it up. Look for a hand to God.
Yeah, but did she have a phone in her left hand?
I think that was on the wheel.
Right, okay.
There's no other hand left to.
Well, you can steer with I guess you'd call it a stump on the arm. You could do that, I'm sure.
My dad used to seemingly infuriate my mother using his knees to hold the wheel when we were on the motorway.
So yes. Well, I've seen that, yeah. I've seen people steer with their feet while eating a bowl of cereal.
Oh, I've seen cereal bowls as well. Well, I told you how you should ride a moped, right? And you get a very weird angle inside people's cars.
Yeah.
You get to see everything that everyone gets up to.
I've seen people watch Coronation Street while they're driving down the road.
If I'm just to meet my maker because I was watching something while driving, I don't want that to be Coronation Street.
That's a good point. Yeah, you want it to be something a little bit more, a little more exciting.
I even watched Mission Impossible
and
for that.
Self-improving. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you allow me the time, have you heard what Jesus has been up to lately?
No, I have not heard what Jesus has been up to lately.
So the actor Jim Caviezel, I think is his surname,
uh-huh.
the guy who played Jesus on Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
So his latest role has been playing a Brazilian former president and now a prisoner for a coup, Jair Bolsonaro,
mm-hmm.
in an English language film that it got me puzzled about who the audience is, because it's clearly not an exercise trying to convince the Brazilians that Bolsonaro is some sort of hero.
Yeah.
So I just found the whole thing, you know, quite mind-bending. To start with, of course, the whole financing of the film.
Well, is it a Mel Gibson film?
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's part
okay.
of that.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Well, I think he learned his lesson after the whole not anti-Semitism on camera thing, and to keep his mouth shut, I guess, if he wants to. Yeah. To participate in the whole Hollywood thing. But there's this whole machinery of the conservative media in the U.S. that we often forget. They create hundreds of titles a year, and there's
and no one goes to see them. This is their problem. You release a woke film, and even though people in the comment section will say stupid things like, go woke, go broke, they don't go broke. They actually sell a boatload of tickets. And with the right-wing films, really not so much. When was the last right-wing film, like, you know, politically right-wing film that actually sold any tickets?
And Melania was such a riot.
Melania, yeah, that's right, yeah. Which is unfair, because her husband has done more for religion than anybody that has ever lived.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Yeah, than him. All right, thanks a lot, Tiago. 0345-6060-973. Adrian says, with all the hoo-ha with reformed councillors not reading the manual on how to be a councillor, brings the old saying to mind, you can bring reform to a council, but you can't make them think. George says, the other evening I had a delicious meal of brown Windsor soup, followed by kippers and bootlace noodles. You can't beat Thai food. Get it? Oh. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
0345 606 0973.
This is LBC.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we know the difference between investing and being invested. Investing is a transaction. Being invested is about the future you want to build. With our guidance, expert insights, and wealth of investment options, you can feel confident about your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind is a bold and uplifting new musical based on the incredible true story of 13-year-old William Kamkwamba, who dared to dream big against impossible odds. Don't miss the West End premiere, playing now at Soho Place for a strictly limited run until the 18th of July. Book now at sohoplace.org.
The following is from TfL.
My name was Luna, like the moon. I was 2 days short of my 17th birthday when I was killed. My killer wasn't a bad man. He had a rescue dog called Frank and rang his mum every Sunday. He wasn't a speed freak. He just thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit. But that was enough to knock me off my bike and kill me.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Can I have an outside line, please?
Kids will have to ask their grannies what an outside line is. Alex in Barnsley says, wonder when Farage the tortoise will feel safe to stick his head out of his shell again. He can't hide in there forever. It's extraordinary how resistant he is to answering questions. He doesn't mind asking them. Just doesn't like answering them. Gets so irate so quickly. It's kind of comical. And, you know, at the moment, there's a parliamentary inquiry underway. Who knows what that might lead to? Probably not much, I would expect. But it's about the money that he got from this Harborne chap, the cryptocurrency billionaire, who gave Fagash a gift of £5 million. Also gave a donation of £9 million to Reform UK, which was the largest single donation to a British political party by a living person. And in unrelated news, since he entered Parliament, Fagash has championed the cryptocurrency industry and pushed for light-touch regulation. But the two are not connected, though, because we're told specifically by Harborne, Fagash, that Harborne wanted nothing in return for his £14 million. £14 million. Which is perfectly normal. Rich people are famously generous. I would ask Reform fans if they're bothered that their party seems to be funded by one man in Thailand, and now that, and how that squares with British values and the flag, and if the fact that Reform are a collection of the richest people in Parliament, and how they become a sort of care home for Tories they used to hate when they were wearing a dark blue rosette. But, you know, what's the point? And besides, those failed Tories are now wearing a light blue rosette, so problem solved. He did an interview with... last time I saw him, he was doing this interview with The Sun. And Farage said he was not in the least bit concerned about the parliamentary inquiry. Well, I wouldn't think he is. It would be like being concerned about getting bitten by a teddy bear. He says, this was given to me on an unconditional basis, completely unconditional basis, but frankly, it was given as a reward for campaigning for Brexit for 27 years, he said. But last month, Farage told broadcasters that the gift was to pay for a lifetime of personal security. I've been the most attacked physically politician of modern times, he said.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
So that's odd. It was £5 million for working for Brexit, but it was also £5 million for a lifetime of security. Both cannot be true at the same time, can they? Well, we don't need to wonder, because no less an authority than the Reform Party said that Farage's new comments did not contradict his earlier ones, because both can be true at the same time. Two things that are not related can both be true at the same time. The most essential command is to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. or it gets the hose again. And all this goes back to the 2024 general election, ahead of which Tetchy initially said he did not intend to run for a seat, but changed his mind about a month before the vote. The money was reportedly received shortly before Fagash announced he would run, and asked in his interview with The Sun whether the gift played any role in his change of heart, he said, "I can't be bought by anybody." Unless you want him to say happy birthday to somebody in a video clip on Cameo, in which case he could have been bought for £63.75. Every little helps when you only make 2 million quid from your earnings outside of the onerous task of being the MP for wherever it is, which pays only 98,599 plus 155,000 in expenses, plus subsidised everything, and a big fat pension to add to the one that he'll be getting from the EU, which he appears to be not ideologically opposed to. And it all helps to buy a house with cash for 1.4 million, making it the fourth property he owns, as is the case with every man of the people politician. I mean, which man of the people politician did not go to a private school, have a stockbroker father, or work as a trader in the City of London, earn £1 million a year, accept millions from Thai-based crypto kings, or advertise for a gold bullion trader? He's practically a socialist. 0345-6060-973. Let's see, he's been waiting the longest. Wickford. Tony.
Hello.
Tony.
Hello.
Yes, Tony.
I was just nudging off then. Yeah,
hey, Tony. Wake up.
Thank you very much. A couple of little things. Fagash is the MP for Clacton, and I used to live in Great Clacton a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So what we can do is we can send Fagash down the beach after a bank holiday Monday, when all the chip eaters have been there, and he can pick up all the litter whilst eating a bag of chips, and then he'll get attacked by seagulls.
I'm quite surprised that he hasn't pulled that stunt already, that he would wear a high-vis jacket over his Savile Row suit and go down onto the beach, making sure not to scuff his £1,000 shoes, and pick up litter for just enough time for somebody to photograph him doing it, and then hightail it out of there.
Yeah, because the seagulls will have him. But he has to be eating a bag of chips.
Right.
Because that's what the seagulls like. Because when the chip eaters eat the bag of chips, that's when the seagulls get them.
Yes. And right. And to be clear, seagulls do that because morons threw chips at them. They wouldn't have known anything about chips if we hadn't introduced them to them.
Bit like how foxes, isn't it?
Exactly,
really?
Yes.
But my original phoning was about the litter again. Last century, when I was a child, we had a campaign saying don't be a litter bug in the UK.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, when I first went to Australia, they had, and I have checked this with your producer, so I'm not going to get in trouble, they had a campaign saying don't be a tosser, which I thought was so much fun.
As in, throw litter about.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, that's Australia for you.
Well, absolutely. I thought it was just, it made me giggle, and I thought, why can't we do? No, we can't do that over here. Can we?
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, it would. It might get attention, which is what it is required, and it might make people stop and think. Whereas, please don't throw your litter away. Obviously, doesn't make them stop and think. And it would be a lot cheaper to print up a couple of posters than it would be to have the council work persons trail after people picking up what they drop.
Yeah. And it's far more direct than don't be a litter bug.
Yes, exactly.
So I think you need to do that, Nick. You need to get on that and you need to start a don't be a topper campaign.
I'll do that straight away, Tony.
Okay.
Good work. Thanks a lot for that. 0345-6060-973. Sophie says, "Hi, Nick. Please make..." I think I've spoken to Sophie on this subject. "Please make me laugh today. My favourite tennis player, Novak Djokovic, lost today in a tennis match."
Boring.
Nigel says, "Hi, Nick. Henry Riley has been reporting on Reform UK members' erotic novels, what they have wrote. I'm just wondering if they'll get their colleague, Anne Widdecombe, to..." to do an audiobook for them. Can you imagine? I'm thinking of a lot of potentially amusing things to say, and then I'm thinking, nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Not that one. And definitely not that one. So I'll just leave it there. Manchester, hello, Sam.
Hi, Nick, you okay?
Yes, good, thanks.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just getting back inside.
Where have you been?
Oh, I was in the garden.
Oh, that sounds a delight.
Yes, yes. It's gone a bit chilly now, though. I was just coming in. I just looked up in the sky, and it's a full moon.
A full moon.
Yeah, and it's very, very bright.
Somebody needs to explain to me, in words that a moron could understand, how a moon can circumnavigate this planet and what route it takes around it in order to become visible only in certain parts of it at certain parts of the month, and how does it not change from day from one hour to the next? Or if it does so, then it does it very, very slowly so we don't notice, because it'll be full moon for a whole night and then only a partial illumination on the subsequent night. So at what point does it change? Somebody needs to explain that to me
if they can explain that I'd be grateful as well. I want to know that. It's very, very bright, and it looks quite depressed. It didn't look too happy. But everyone's asking, where's Fagash?
The moon? The moon doesn't look happy. Is that what you said?
Well, it looks mystifying, but it's got... all seems to have a face on it.
Right.
So everyone's asking, where's Fagash? So maybe he's used some of that 5 million...
Maybe, by the way, that is why Elon Musk is so keen to get to the moon, because there is a certain similarity between his face and the moon's, isn't there?
Yes, yeah.
Kind of white and waxy, like that.
Yeah. And maybe Fagash has bought a ticket to go and explore the moon, that's why he's not around. Well, why Thailand?
As long as it's a one-way ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to talk about the litter problem and etiquette on, not just trains, but also trams. So I was on the train a couple of weeks ago. I had this woman come onto the train. It was early afternoon, so it wasn't busy. Mm. She was probably in her late 60s. She came in with a shopping trolley, dumped it in the middle of the aisle.
A shopping trolley?
Yeah, you know, those were two wheels.
Two wheels? Her personal shopping trolley. You don't mean she nicked one from Tesco's? No, right, okay. I got it, yeah. Go on.
So she dumped it in the middle of the aisle, and I thought, oh, God, this is going to be...
Because I just want to point this out. The proper place for a trolley from Tesco's is, of course, in the river, not on a train.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So she sat down, and she rummages through a shopping bag, Aldi shopping bag, gets out a pot of yogurt and a plastic spoon, starts eating it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I was getting off at the same stop as her. So she gets up and takes... I couldn't get out because she had a shopping trolley dumped in the middle of the aisle, waited for her to move, and then she left a yogurt pot with the plastic spoon and half of the yogurt. She'd only eaten half of it.
Yeah.
On the seat.
On the seat?
Yeah. So I said to her, she went to the to get off, and there's a bin right next to the door. So, and I said, excuse me, you left your plastic yogurt pot. Oh, I'll do it next time.
Wow.
And then she got off. It gets even worse. Mm. And then the conductor was obviously, you know, he opened the doors and then he was closing the doors, and she said, oh, are you all right, John? So she's walking past the conductor, and then she turned around to me and said, oh, whatever makes you happy. And then she told me to go and F myself.
Wow. Which is not what you would expect from an elderly lady.
No, exactly.
But But people feel so entitled. That's what I don't understand. Well, where did they learn this sense of entitlement? Because I've never had that. I've never, to my knowledge, I have never thrown rubbish away. I would always even, you know, I would get annoyed in carrying it and trying to find a bin because they are few and far between. But I would never just drop it in the road or in a park or on a train or anywhere.
I mean, some parts, I mean, I haven't been to London for a while, but I mean, some parts of Manchester are just terrible. It's awful when you see, you know, and there are, you know, there's a problem with the lack of bins as well. So, but that shouldn't be an excuse for people just to throw their rubbish.
It's not an excuse. They brought all that stuff with them, presumably in a bag. They've still got the bag, then they could take it away with them.
Yeah, and what makes it worse is most of the stuff is plastic.
Yeah.
So it's even worse for the environment.
Right. And I don't understand it, I don't condone it, and I don't really get it, but I would expect it in a municipal park. What I do not expect is it at Kew Blooming Gardens, which costs, I don't even know how much it costs to get in there. It's probably over 20 quid.
Yeah.
So two people spend 40 quid to go to one of the world's greatest gardens, and they just chuck their detritus around like it's like it's the local wreck.
It's terrible. I think they should start using, you know, these facial recognition cameras.
Yes, exactly.
They've introduced them, they're popping up in Manchester and catching these people.
And finding them automatically and deducting the money from their bank account and then sending them a polite email saying, thanks for the money that you've just lost, you stupid moron, don't do it again. Something like that.
Taking half your wages.
Yes, we've taken half your wages, we've changed the locks on your house, and we've towed away your car. Yeah, maybe I've gone too far. All right, thanks a lot, Sam. 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's just past 11:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
Donald Trump's been holding a meeting with officials at the White House to discuss an extension to the current ceasefire with Iran. It's been looking into the creation of a new 60-day truce linked to the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz and Tehran's nuclear program. The Congolese health minister says more than 1,000 suspected cases of Ebola have been identified. The number's risen by just over 100 in the space of 24 hours. And nearly 2,500 homes and businesses in Kent have spent another day without water. Southeast Water has blamed incredibly high demand during the hot weather. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland, but staying dry across the rest of the UK overnight. Warm in the southeast, a low though in Scotland of around 10 degrees.
LBC.
Have you spotted anything?
Only seagulls. Are you sure this beach is a nature reserve?
Well, the sign said nature this way. Hey, what's that big bird over there? Flapping its wings, unusual markings.
You sure that sign didn't say naturists?
Oi, this is a nudist beach.
Ooh. Now, where are my binoculars?
Cheryl?
Struggling to read in the sun? Get 2-for-1 at Specsavers and make prescription sunglasses your second pair. From £70 with standard single vision lenses to the same prescription. Terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
Mr. and Little Miss are back in Happy Meal and they're off on a road trip. Your little one can go somewhere exciting with Little Miss Brave. Laugh all the way there with Mr. Tickle or make up an adventure all of their own. On this road trip, anything's possible. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 8th of June, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy. While stocks last, subject to availability.
Get unlimited video calls with vets from First Vet with Pets in a Pickle. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
The following is from TFL.
My name was Luna, like the moon. I was 2 days short of my 17th birthday when I was killed. My killer wasn't a bad man. He had a rescue dog called Frank and rang his mum every Sunday. He wasn't a speed freak. He just thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit. But that was enough to knock me off my bike and kill me.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
I pressed that button and it just changed colour and sat there and did nothing. So I had to press it again. I corrected it. Then it behaved. Copenhagen. Hello, David. There's another one. Well, he has been waiting for, and I'm ashamed to say this, 53 minutes.
What?
Yeah, 53 minutes. This has happened about three times on my show. Somebody has been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and he may be lying down, and he's got the phone next to his head, and he appears to be choking to death. So perhaps we should send an ambulance immediately. Get 999 on the phone. Does anybody know what the number for 999 is? I'll try the usual to see if I can raise him. Hello? Is there anybody out there? Are you sleeping soundly? Would you like to join us? This might work. Nothing? Nothing at all. Kevin in Wallington says, what's all this about? He's going to be furious when he wakes up. He waited so long. Oh. Kevin in Wallington says, what's all this about the new $250 note with Trump's face on it? What's all this about Trump painting statues of horses gold in Washington, D.C.? Just asking questions. And I know it's not a request, he says, or a request show, but can we have an Epstein uplist? An Epstein update, please. I haven't heard his name mentioned in the media for weeks. Just saying.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, still talking about Jeffrey Epstein. We haven't forgotten about that, Donnie. That's not gone away. As much as you would like to think that it had. You know, what with you starting an entire war just to take our mind off it.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate.
Yeah, unlike you. I have a plan, and it's a big plan, and it's a huge plan, and it's a great plan. The Trump administration officials have pressed the office responsible for printing the nation's money to design a $250 bill featuring the president's portrait in what would be the first appearance of a living person on U.S. currency in more than 150 years. And Trump picked the $250 bill because it's easier for criminals to stash a lot of money in a small place. I don't know whether that's true, but Donnie picking it, presumably he wanted the biggest denomination because that is so totally him. But it's true that criminals prefer big bills. They make carrying large amounts easier. They reduce the weight of the cash to carry. It's easier to hide than small bills of the same value. And high-value bills provide untraceable large amounts for criminal activities like drug dealing, tax evasion and money laundering. In which case, it's absolutely perfect for you, Donnie.
Oh, shut up!
It'll be his face that every major drug dealer in the world will have staring out at them while they count their stash. There's a 500-euro note that is dubbed the Bin Laden by crime fighters because it is the preferred note of terrorists and international criminals. Law enforcement worldwide have called for the elimination of high-value bills like the 500-euro note because of their use by criminals, and Donald Trump wants his face on one. What does that tell you?
I can be more presidential than anybody.
I mean, why would somebody want a high-value bill if they were not trying to hide it from the authorities? Have you ever tried to spend a £50 note? Never mind about a £250 one. Nobody wants them. But it's the biggest note, so Donnie wants the biggest note because it's the biggest. Your husband seems obsessed with size, Malaria.
I don't care.
She really doesn't. Starting last year, two Trump appointees at the Treasury Department repeatedly urged staff at the agency's Bureau of Engraving and Printing to prepare prototypes of the note, despite federal law currently allowing only dead people to appear on bills. But when has a small thing like the law ever stopped Yosemite scam?
Don't be rude.
Mock-up designs for the note, including one that shows President Donald Trump's face in the center of a $250 bill. And, of course, they chose the police mugshot that he seems to think makes him look tough, rather than someone who needed a bathroom break about 10 minutes ago, which is what it actually looks like.
And I did three of them today.
I did a little one, a little tiny one, and then I did a really big one. I did a big one, and I'm still raring to go.
Yeah, and they painted his face at that moment. The artist who said he designed the mock-up told the Washington Post that he had spoken with Trump about it. A British painter called Ian Alexander said that Trump endorsed changes to his original designs, such as adding the colours of the American flag and a logo commemorating the 250th anniversary of that nation's founding. 250 years old. He likes to call me his favourite British artist, said the British artist Ian Alexander, a former DJ, who describes himself as a royal portrait artist of Queen Elizabeth II and others. And you could also call yourself a royal portrait artist if you have ever drawn a picture of a royal person. Uninvited. Ian... Get this... Ian Alexander said he had proposed a theme of women's liberation for the back of the note. And he said Donald Trump absolutely loved it. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
Yeah, what's creepy about that? No living person has appeared on U.S. currency since 1866. Legislation would allow Donald Trump to appear on a $250 bill, was introduced in Congress last year to commemorate the nation's 250th anniversary by some spineless sycophant, I assume. Oh, no, it was a man called Joe Wilson, a Republican representative from South Carolina. Where is it? There it is. And endorsed by the Thunderbirds puppet, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, who says yes after everything Donald Trump says. In a statement, the Treasury Department spokesman said the printing office is conducting appropriate planning and due diligence in response to the proposed legislation to allow Desperate Don to put his enormous likeness on the $250 bill. Two current employees of the Treasury Department's Bureau of Engraving and Printing said... We are not authorized to do this. We can't progress any further, and all the stakeholders have not even met to discuss the next steps, said one. Currency often takes 6 to 8 years to produce a new bill, particularly one of such high value. But that's no good for Donnie, because he won't be in the White House in 6 to 8... Oh, wait. That's right. Yeah, he probably will.
I'm president! Can you believe it?
No, we're still stunned. Still stunned, Donnie. By the way, 112 is the emergency number in Denmark, if in case you need it. In case that person who was calling from Denmark is in want of assistance. We have people rushing to the scene. Reese's Park. Hello, Vance.
Hi, Nick. I'm enjoying the show as usual. Thank you. Nick, I've got a small plan to humiliate the Strumpet.
Yes.
But I have to start with a question. Do you know what the largest banknote in the UK is?
Now, do you mean denomination or in...
Denomination.
Okay, not in measurements.
No.
Because if you look at old films, the money that we used to have used to be enormous. I mean, it used to be pretty much the size of the Daily Telegraph. It was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a £50 note.
No, it isn't, actually.
Isn't it?
No, it's £100 million. It is officially issued by the Bank of England, but it is used only for interbank trading across the globe. So if they want to send, I don't know, £100 million to the USA, they can actually send a banknote.
So if you went into a newsagent with one and you asked to buy a copy of the Daily Telegraph and and do they have any change, please, then you'd be fresh out of luck. Interbank only, right.
Yes, that's right. But I was just thinking, you know, his face is going to be on a $250. Wouldn't it really put him in his place if we put King Charles on our 100 million banknote?
Well, of course King Charles is going to be on our banknote, isn't he?
Well, Well, I think he is, actually. Yes, he is. That's right.
I wonder if I have one. No, I don't carry cash on me. I never carry cash when I leave the house. That's because I'm an anti-royalist. No, it isn't. It's because everyone is set up for the boop and go. Boop and go.
Yes. Anyway, I thought you'd enjoy that little bit.
Well, that is a fact, and we are always interested in facts on this show. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Vance. 0345-6060-973. I did not know that. Did he say 100 million? £100 million banknote. I would like to see a picture of that. I would like to hold it in my hands and then run away. But what are you going to do with it? You can't even spend a 50, can you? You walk into a pub and you ask for two pints, and even though they will be, £12 each, they still will refuse to take a £50 note off you. They just won't. So it's for criminals. And the law enforcement agencies all over the world want those high denomination bills scrapped because it's much easier for criminals to hide that cash. You know, if you're going to hide it a £1 million in cash, then it's much, much easier to do it if the denominations are high, rather than £1 million in cash in £5 notes. I mean, that would take up... I've got absolutely no idea, so I'll make it up. That would take up the size of a Luton van. No idea if that's right or not. And that's the one that Donald Trump wants his face on, the highest denomination. I mean, I'm assuming that they don't have a $500 bill, because he would want his face on that one, wouldn't he? If they had anything larger than a 250. I'm not sure they even have a 250 now. I'll assume that they don't. Why stop at 250? Why didn't he want a $1,000 bill? I guess because nobody would be able to spend those unless they were in Vegas and they threw it on a roulette table. And then they take it away from you and they put it in that slot that they got on the table, and then you don't have that money anymore. That happened to me when I was a kid. Worst experience ever. I think I was on a boat going to, with my parents, going to Rotterdam. Sounds about right. And I must have been about 10 years old. How did they allow me to go into the casino of the boat and put money on a number? I didn't even put it on a number. I put it on red or black. Even at that age, I'm not totally stupid. You know, limit your loss, your potential losses to, 50-50. And I confidently put my pound on red and it came up black. I couldn't believe it. I was actually standing there stunned with my mouth open as he took my money off the table, and he put it in that slot in the table and it disappeared. Which was probably a good thing, because if I'd won, well, you just never know, that I might have got the bug there and then. So best to lose early at gambling, I say. Paul says, hi, Nick, I just banked my truck up to the dock and tipped 9 freezers into the sea. I'm just trying to keep the water cold and save the ice shelf. Well, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. That's just a good idea. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
The Labour Party, not for the first time, is wrestling with its future and wondering what its future might be, whether it even has one. Because the word which more and more Labour MPs under their breath are saying is extinction. And the question on their lips, the question that they are animating themselves with, is who should and can lead us out of this mess?
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Next.
Hi, just these, thanks. Did you cash back?
Just need to check you're not a robot first. New security policy.
Okay.
How many traffic lights can you see out the window?
Oh, 2.
No, that's wrong.
Right, well, obviously I'm not a robot.
That's what a robot would say.
What a load of malarkey. Smarty keeps things simple, like 80 gigabytes for £10. And on a rolling monthly SIM plan, you're free to leave any time. Less malarkey, more Smarty. Search Smarty Mobile.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
The following is from TFL.
I got loads of flowers the other day. And messages from people I didn't even know. My mate spelled my name in tea lights. And my mom hung my favourite footy shirt on the railings. Next to the lamppost, where I got killed. By a nice lady. Just someone who thought it was okay to go a few miles an hour over the limit.
Speeding injures or kills over 1,000 people in London every year. Slow down. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
The whole world's gone crazy.
The whole world has, in fact, gone crazy. Paul in Manchester says, remember the US airman rescued from Iran? The one they found feeding the 5,000 in the wilderness? You'd think Chugsmith and Plump would want a selfie. Yes, very curious. That person, who we are assured actually existed, seems to have disappeared. Never saw him, never learned his name, I don't think. Just vanished. Poof. Like a rocket.
You have to see it. It's very cool. Missiles launched, missiles launched, missiles launching. They're launching. Okay, we're ready. Fire, 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 boom, fire, boom. Genius. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah, fire, boom. That U.S. airman rescued from Iran. Boom. Just gone. Disappeared. Like a puff of smoke. Watford. Hello, Simon.
Oh, happy Friday, Nick.
Yes, happy Friday, Simon. I am great, mate.
Well, I've got a couple of things. I noticed on this week on Facebook when I was perusing that I saw a picture of a UFC arena being built on the lawn of the White House.
Yeah, classy.
Very, isn't it? But when I looked in the comments, I mean, I laughed. Someone put it looked like it was a scene from Idiocracy.
Ah, finally.
And it made me think of you.
Yes, the word is getting out, Idiocracy. I'll say it again for about the thousandth time. It used to be a comedy about a dystopian future in which the stupids had taken over. Because, you know, the stupids outbreed the smarts, and so that eventually that is our future. We will become less and less intelligent. And in fact, robots will take over all the smart things that we used to do.
Affirmative.
But
and now it's a documentary.
Now it's a documentary about the present. Correct Amundo.
And, you know, I thought, you know, if they haven't already started building the Trump Memorial over Kennedy, he'll be turning in his grave, wouldn't he?
I saw that there were a court told Trump to take his name off that building, that Trump, Kent, the Donald Trump and Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. They said that Donald Trump must erase his name off that building. But he ain't going to do that, is he?
No, he's going to knock it down, isn't he?
Yes.
He's going to tear it down.
He would rather
down that wall.
Tear down everything and then rule over the ashes. Yes.
Yes. But the other experience I had this week, you know, they're talking about a lot of neets, aren't they? These young people that aren't in employment. Well, I met a neet. I met one that was in employment this week.
Oh, neat!
And thoroughly disappointed I was.
Oh.
I went into a coffee shop. I won't name it or where it was, but apparently eye contact isn't a thing.
No.
And I ordered a chicken sandwich, which was already prepared in the shell.
Poor Chuck.
With mayo. And I sat there for 20 minutes staring at my sandwich in the shelf while the young person in employment just stared at their phone. And then I asked, perhaps, could I have my sandwich and the coffee that I ordered? Which he'd grabbed it out. It was in a packet. He put it on the plate. To which the older, let's say, non-neat, said, no, put it on a plate, and then proceeded to get out with his hand, and she said, no, with the tongs. and then then put it on a plate.
Yeah.
And then got, let's just say, presented it with a wig of rocket on top, and then said, would you like cutlery? I said, but it's a sandwich. And then the bill came for my sandwich and my coffee.
Yes.
And it was £13.
There's £13 you'll never get back.
No, or the half an hour of my life.
Yes. We're supposed to be a country that survives on its service industry. That is, it's banking, that's a lot of it, and accountancy and lawyering and all that stuff. But it's also serving people. And I don't know, I think that we're uniquely bad at serving people. We just don't seem to get it, which is odd because we're a nation of upstairs, downstairs. I mean, not too long ago, like 70% of the country was serving the other 30%. But yeah. Maybe we just got the hump from that point and we never really got over it. But getting something for somebody else, even if it's part of your job, just comes very, very difficult. It seems to be difficult for people to grasp that concept.
We like to be served.
Yeah.
We don't like to serve.
Right. Which is why restaurants and hotels and so on were absolutely stuffed to the gills with Eastern Europeans before we, did the B word. Because, I don't know, they just seemed to be better than us at that kind of thing. Maybe they had lower expectations in life and didn't all expect to become influencers in Dubai with a Maserati and a Ferrari.
Yeah, well, to summarise really on both stories, we're doomed.
Well, yeah, I think that may be true. Yeah, I mean, if our future is serving people, which is one of the things that robots can't do very well. I mean, I know that they tried doing it with a robot walking up, skating around a sushi restaurant in Japan and stuff like that. But they aren't going to replace human beings. It's too complicated, and the human interaction is a big part of it. So if those are the jobs that are going to be left for us to do after AI takes over, we aren't going to be able to do them because we're just terrible at it. I went to a place, I think it was Scarborough, and I accidentally ordered a meal there. And everything, I've said this on the air several times before, but every single thing on the menu came with, not chips, stir fry. Which I thought was quite weird. I mean, it was a fish and...
That is weird.
It was a fish restaurant in Scarborough, and everything came with stir-fry, as though they'd had a lorry load of it delivered, and they just needed to get rid of it. Pie and stir-fry, fish and stir-fry. If you wanted stir-fry, it came with stir-fry.
Stir-fry with stir-fry.
And I said, oh, OK, I'll have the fish and stir-fry, please. And they must have had an industrial-sized cooking pot out the back there with it all boiling in oil. They'd presumably got a bag of chopped-up vegetables, and they put it in oil. And they served it to the plate, I'm not kidding, by using a ladle. There was a bit of fish and some chopped-up vegetables that were swimming in a lake of oil. And I said, could you drain this for me? And she didn't get it at all. She thought I was joking. So that is our future.
Did you leave a tip?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
The tip should have been, don't serve stir fry.
Stir fry, yes, correct. All right, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Simon.
Thanks, Nick.
Ta-da. 0345-6060-973. Mark says, Nick, a very famous skateboarder died last week. Mark Johnson, as you have previously talked about being a fan of skateboarding, can you give him a shout-out? Well, I'm not a fan of skateboarding, but I do... because most skateboarding is just rubbish. It's embarrassingly bad, because most people who do it aren't very good at it, and it sounds terrible. And the best thing... You hang out at the... not hang out, it's not quite the right word, but you take a glance as you walk by that area in the South Bank where all those hoodlum types congregate to do their little skateboarding tricks. And, first of all, they're all way too old to be doing it. I mean, some of them look like they're 30. And second, they're just so badasses. I mean, they go along and then they try to flip the board around so that they land on it and fail doing it. So usually skateboarding is embarrassingly bad. But at the Olympics, they're at something else. So I did surprise myself by watching skateboarding at the Olympics and found it to be brilliant. That and wall climbing, which I also was quite surprised to find was excellent. But yeah, okay, Mark Johnson. I don't recall who he is or what he did, but I'm sure he was excellent in every regard. In fact, I think he was tubular, dude. I think that is the technical term. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The White House says Donald Trump will only make a deal on the Iran war, which is good for America, following his meeting with national security officials. They've been gathering to discuss a potential deal to extend the existing ceasefire. On Friday, Iran's semi-official Fars news agency quoted sources claiming the president had been trying to portray a fabricated victory. Brian Finnegan is a senior advisor for the U.S. program at International Crisis Group. He's been telling LBC the Trump administration is portraying optimism.
The president signaled considerable optimism earlier today on social media, and then he went into an extended meeting at the White House, but emerged with no announcement of actually having reached a deal with Iran. My understanding from my conversations with people in the administration is they think that the U.S. and Iran are closer than any point in recent months to concluding a deal, but they're not there yet.
A man, woman and child have died after falling from a high-rise block in South London. The Metropolitan Police says emergency services were called to the Elephant and Castle area on Wednesday morning. Vladimir Putin has responded to accusations a Russian drone crashed into flats in Romania by saying there's no way of knowing without any evidence. Sir Keir Starmer's condemned the Kremlin's forces after two people were injured in a border area. But President Putin has been dismissing an evaluation which involved figures from the EU.
Ursula von der Leyen was not, after all, in Romania, nor did she examine the wreckage of this drone. No one can say what origin a particular aircraft has until it has been examined.
Questions have been raised on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. over the transfer of the Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell to a minimum security prison. A congressman investigating the scandal has said moving her seemed too coincidental, shortly after being interviewed by the former deputy attorney general. And nearly 100 homes have been evacuated after ground movements in a former mining village in Clackmannanshire. The first people were moved in Coles Norton nearly a fortnight ago. 37 more properties became affected on Friday. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland and staying dry for the rest of the UK overnight. Warm in the southeast with a low in Scotland of around 10 degrees. Rain, which will be heavy at times, moving eastwards across Scotland and Northern Ireland for Saturday. Plenty of warm and sunny spells for the rest of the UK during the day. We'll see a high of around 26 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Hello, boys.
Yeah! Dude! Let's talk to this dude straight away in Southwark, and he's called Dan. Dan.
Well, first of all, and completely respectably, answering the fine guy and dude is... That's you trying to cause a problem and just be a bit of a, you know. There's no need for that. I'm born and raised in South London. No.
What are you talking about?
No. Right. What you talked about skateboarding.
Yes.
You've been part of South Bank. Yeah.
Yes, I have. Yes. I've lingered there long enough to know that the people who practice skateboarding there need to practice skateboarding more.
And that is the whole point about skateboarding. It's the same as anything. To do with any creative industry, art, graffiti, or dancing, or ballet, anything like that, it is about practice.
Yeah, well, I've never seen anybody do anything impressive, ever.
Can I speak, though? Am I wrong? It is about practice. Anything. You've been on the radio for a number of years.
Hundreds of years.
You practice to get to the point where you're at, where you can conversate with other people about any issues, whether you agree with them or not. Am
right.
I wrong?
Stop saying that.
No, am I wrong?
Stop saying, are you wrong? You are, I don't know if you're wrong or not. I have never seen anybody do anything impressive at that skateboard park. And I bet you haven't either.
Well, I bet you haven't spent a day there.
God, no.
Exactly. Well, what are you talking about then? It's
well, just, okay, no, but you can tell how good people are from one way, from them going from one side to the other. You can tell how good people are, and they're all absolutely rubbish at it.
There are pro skateboarders, professional skateboarders, who skateboard for professional teams.
Right, yeah, I understand that. And I said that it was very impressive when it was on the Olympics. I said that the people that were doing it there was one of the best things I saw at the Olympics a couple of Olympics ago.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. But South Bank, not just the South Bank, but any skateboard park in the UK, there are people who've come through that since they were kids.
I've never seen anybody do anything impressive, ever.
Because you haven't been everywhere. You are talking rubbish. No, but you keep laughing, and it's offensive that you keep laughing.
I'm offending you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm offending you now?
It is offensive to someone who is a skateboarder.
Okay, Dan, how old are you?
Sorry, how old are you, Dan? I'm not being aggressive.
Dan, you are being aggressive. You were aggressive from the first. I'm talking over you, says the man who's talking over me. From the first syllable you said, you were aggressive and shouty.
Because you have no idea what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking about, because I'm talking about what I've seen. And what I've seen is deeply unimpressive. What I've seen is people who should have given up years ago, who are way too old to be doing this, hanging around like they're still in their young teenage years, when they're actually touching 30, who have, in all the time that they've been practicing, and I assume it's from when they were a little kid, they didn't take it up when they were 25, because that would be deeply embarrassing. And I've never seen any of them do anything that was in any way impressive. They all look like they were trying it for the very first time.
Okay, well, I get that, I understand that, and I do agree. But what is the problem with that? It's people doing something that they're passionate about.
All right, okay. Well, I'll tell you what the problem
whether
is.
Whether they're good or not.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is it's the worst sounding sport that has ever been invented, with the possible exception of Formula One racing. It just sounds terrible. Now, if they were doing something impressive, then that would be okay. But it's not. It's just that rumble, 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 clack, and then they fall off. It's just, I don't know. I thought you dudes were all chilled and relaxed.
Give me your point. Can I please give my point? What is wrong?
See? I knew that was coming. I'm quite surprised that he took 7 minutes to say it. Yeah, not aggressive at all. No. Yeah, I thought those people were all, you know, like really relaxed, man. You know, very, very chilled out. I think that, I don't know, maybe he needs to get out of the house. Try skateboarding. Get rid of some of that nervous energy. Yeah. What's surprising about that is that somebody is so wound up about something they heard on this show. Crying out loud. It's just a radio show, mate. I'm not saying that you can't do it. Just saying that I'm not remotely interested in anybody, in watching anybody do it. And what's it got to do with you, anyway? Calling up and complaining about a radio show that he hasn't paid for, and no one's forcing him to listen to. Mystifying. Stu in Toulouse says, hey, Nick, those ice scientists that are worried about sea levels rising when the ice caps are melting need to get their thinking caps on. For example, I mistakenly froze a bottle of Warnink's original Advocar that I've had since 1975. When I defrosted it, it didn't thaw at all. When we smashed it out of the bottle, it maintained its solid custard state. Wow. What's in that stuff? That was the first sip of alcohol I ever had in my life. A Scottish auntie gave me a snowball at Christmas. Now, you'd think that that would put you off drinking forever, but apparently it didn't. Chris says, as unfashionable as it sounds, I love where I live. Beautiful promenade full of wildlife and entertainment for all the family. It's next to a lovely canal stretching through the Essex countryside, which is currently full of rubbish. Scorched earth from illegal fires, vandalised boats and locks, and knives pulled out on river wardens, and graffiti all over the place. At the risk of sounding hyperbolic, I want the death penalty reinstated. Yeah, I know what you mean. It is infuriating, that people just care so little about where they live that they would gladly see it disintegrate into ruin, just as long as they don't have to lift a finger in order to make that not happen. It's amazing, really. And I betcha that most of the people who are screaming about being patriotic are the ones that are the problem. Betcha. Nigel says, billionaire Oracle founder Larry Ellison has provided over £257 million in donations and pledges to the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change. I wonder if that has anything to do with Tony Blair's recently aired views on AI. Well, I don't know. What are his recently aired views on AI? I spend most of my day trying to avoid Tony Blair lately. He's blooming everywhere. I do have I do have stories about that. But in a counterpoint to the conversation that I've just had with that nice chap, here's Ali in Birmingham. Ali.
I wanted to give you my total support. It's really aggressive.
Oh, Ali. These are one of those phone lines where we can't hear the first, like, half or whole word of everything that you say. So we're going to call you back and we'll speak to you in just a moment. I bet my glamorous assistant is doing that straight away, if not sooner. John says, punch spelling correction. Beach is amazing harmony and unity for the nation. What does that mean? Oh, and there's an emoji of, I don't even know what that is. It looks like hands with water on top of them. I've got no idea what you're talking about, John. Are you having a breakdown? Here he is, Ali.
Hi, Nick. I think the previous caller was having a breakdown.
He was very, very emotional.
Totally aggressive. And I've always been seeing it in the movies. The skateboarders, they're chilled out, they're relaxed.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was totally the opposite. I just wanted to call in, give you my support. I totally agree with skateboarding being completely useless. And anybody over the age of... When you asked him his age, he didn't give you his age.
No.
He sounded 40.
Well, maybe not 40, but he's probably touching 30, there or thereabouts, yeah.
Okay, Nick, I just wanted to give you my support.
All right, thanks for your support, Ali.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Mate.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da, 0345-6060-973. Yeah, if you're touching 40 and your main interest in life is skateboarding, then I think you need to take a look at yourself, because your life might not be working out as well as it might. Okay, so what does that emoji mean?
It's a hand going like this. It's going, yay, we're having a nice time together, aren't we, Nick?
Well, like jazz hands.
Yeah, sure, whatever makes
well,
you
happy. Well, what are the blue things above the... There's like three...
A sort of indication of movement.
Right. I hate emojis. I really do. How did you increase the size of that one? Because I can never do that.
It's this amazing function where you can make text bigger on a document.
Wow, you are blowing my mind. Here's the sound of my mind being blown.
Groovy.
Yeah. I also think that skateboarding doesn't really suit this country. I mean, if you're in California in the 1970s and you're breaking into people's backyards to use their swimming pool as your little skate park, the swimming pool would be drained, of course, and the house would be empty. But that's how that all started, apparently. They used to break into empty houses and use the drained swimming pool in the back, because they wouldn't be square. They'd be kind of like, kidney-shaped, all of those pools in California. And they'd use them as their little skate park. And then it started from there. And, I've seen some really impressive things on a skateboard, but never in this country. and certainly never from the types that hang out in the South Bank. It's just embarrassing that they spend all day there, it seems, mooching along in their retro T-shirts with Keith Haring or Stoozy written on it, you know, like they're hip and with it. You might have been hip and with it in 1980, but them's days is over. Carl says, sorry, Nick, you're poking fun at an entire culture. I was a skater for many years, and yeah, it can take months to learn a trick. Blood, tears and sweat, literally. At least they're focused and have a passion to try. Focused. You just condescend and you'll probably call me upon my spelling mistakes. Yeah, there's loads of them. Never mind. I mean, you could have checked your spelling mistake. If you're that upset about being called on your spelling mistakes, then you should have just looked at the words with a wiggly line underneath, and that would have shown you where they are. That's what that is. And I'm sure it can take months to learn a trick, but I've never seen anybody pull one off. I mean, the crowds form, mystifyingly, around that hideous... That brutalist space that they've got underneath the South Bank, and why they're so desperate to keep that. I mean, I've got no idea. No sun penetrates that space. You could be like Dawn of the Living Dead in there. And I've never there are many times, probably thousands of times, I've walked past that from Waterloo going down towards Tate Modern. I've never seen anybody do anything remotely impressive. And you would think that at one time you would see somebody actually pull off a trick or try a trick that is, you know, in some way interesting or difficult. But no, I don't know what it is that we just don't seem to be able to do it in this country. If you're in California in the 1970s, then yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. In the rain, in Waterloo, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a thing to me. Maybe try something else. You might be good at something else. Just trying to help. Am I helping yet? 0345-6060-973.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Why do you need consultation? Who's going to say no?
Straight to the point.
Let's see, and...
Well, why let's see? This is what I don't understand.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Why won't they listen to the most successful living Labour Prime Minister? Arguably the most successful Labour Prime Minister of all time.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Are you ready for a Gaulish adventure? This summer, join us at Park Asterix and discover the legendary hero Asterix the Gaul and all his friends. With more than 50 attractions, rides and shows. Plus, 3 unique hotels nestling in the forest. It's a family break like no other. Dive into the world of Park Asterix, a short chariot ride from Paris and just 15 minutes from Charles de Gaulle Airport. Book your 2026 visit and stay. Search Park Asterix. Because the adventure never ends.
Bask in the calm and charm of Bicester Village. Join us for the summer event and refresh your wardrobe with an extra 30% off the village price. From the 22nd to the 31st of May. Select lines and brands, T's and C's apply. See bicestervillage.com. Bicester Village. The thrill of discovery.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
Greg says, Nick, why do you go to Kew Garden? Spelt Q-U-E-U-E. Well, I wouldn't go to a Kew Garden, but I go to Kew Gardens. He says, it just seems to enrage you. No, Kew Gardens does not enrage me. It is the most marvellous place that I can think of going. It's people within it lately who enrage me. They act like it's a park. They take bread with them and throw it to the pigeons for crying out loud. And then they leave the whatever their bread came in as rubbish on the ground and then just waltz off. Because, I don't know, they paid 25 quid to get in, so it's their right and they can do what they want. Veronica says, Nick, leave these skateboarders alone. They're doing their best. Yeah, I think they are doing their best. That's what's disappointing. This text says, how hard is it to take a carrier bag to the park or the beach and put your rubbish in it and then carry it to the bin? And then very rude acronym for goodness sake. Words to that effect. Apparently it's very, very hard because people just can't do it. You can take a carrier bag with all of your sandwiches and your cola and your, you know, whatever else it is that you take with you. Crisps and biscuits and, you know, all that good stuff. And so if you can carry all that while it's full in a bag, then you can put the empty wrappers in a bag. It'll weigh less, take up less room, and you just put it in a bin when you find one. But that is apparently an impossibility for most of the people in this country who would describe themselves as patriots and would be furious if anybody suggested otherwise. Alex says, hello, Nick, from the sunny mountains of Fermanagh. Oh, I bet they aren't. I mean, not just now, I mean ever. He says, I'm looking forward to my kids being able to say that it's a beachfront house. Well, any time now, any time now. Yeah, just wait. Monza says, Kew Gardens have a royal constabulary. They've had them for just under 87 years. Yes, I know that. But they didn't used to have a fast response vehicle with the luminous decals and lights on the top to prowl around like it's Hyde Park. They didn't used to have that. I'm sure they used to have one snoozing old Bobby with nothing to do in his own little hut, wherever that might be. I've never seen one apart from recently, and now they've got cars. And it must have been a response to something that happened. And what happened was, morons. Dan says, did you see Trump is hosting the MMA fight in front of the White House? I mean, how can people in America still support this guy? I mean, approximately, I know that people in America who support Donald Trump don't like to be called stupid. I know that. But please, meet us halfway. Stop doing stupid things, and then people will stop thinking of you as stupid. There's more. He says, did you see that Trump is hosting an MMA fight in front of the White House, just like the president did in the movie Idiocracy? You couldn't make it up. Well, they did. And they did make it up. And then Trump did it. It's astonishing. It really is. If you haven't seen that film, I mean, it's not a great film. I found it funny. I've seen it a couple of times. You should probably get in the mood to watch it.
Booze
might help. Probably, you know, stone cold sober. It might not be the right way to take it in because it's not an intelligent film at all. It was from the guy that did Beavis and Butthead, so that should give you an idea of the level that we're talking about. But it is quite astonishing how that film has come to life with the current presidency. Maria says, hi, Nick. In Malden, we've just had a new skate park built. One can smell the weed miles away. From Maria and two kisses.
Want to score some pot?
No, apparently it makes you very, very, very angry. That's what I heard. And sweary, too. Let's have Newcastle. Neil.
Hi, Nick.
Neil.
Rubbish. This country is just full of idiots and scum, basically.
Yes.
I work in a cleaning environment, so and there's lots of sinks about where I work, right?
Oh yeah.
So and there's people who put cups in a bin, with half a bit of stuff in the bottom.
Yes.
And they can't be asked, excuse the French. Mm-hmm. To walk over to the sink and pour it in.
And tip it in before they put the half-full cup of coffee in the bin, yeah.
Absolutely. So when you pull the bin out, you think, no, that's not too bad. But then, oh, no, it's going all over. Yeah.
All over everywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is the problem with
it? I don't know.
It's such a hardship. Like, I mean, if you've got half of... I'm sure you you like your tea, and I'm sure you finish it.
Yes.
I drink my coffee, I finish it.
Right. And when I don't finish it, I pour it down the sink before I put it on the side, you know, like a person.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Instead of like, I mean, I don't know what their home life is like, and I don't wish to find out. I can only imagine. But people seem to lose all sense of, it's as though they've lost the use of their arms.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that enrages me. People will take milk out of a fridge, and then they'll serve themselves a little bit of milk, and then they'll leave it on the side in the heat next to the fridge that they've just taken it out. Do they put it back in the fridge? No, they do not, because that is not their responsibility. They're going to leave it on the side in the warm, where it'll go off, because it's their right, and they can do what they want.
I know. It's unbelievable. Just take it and put it in the fridge.
Here's another one.
The bin.
You know the foil, if you take the cap off of one of the little plastic bottles of milk, there's a foil circle underneath, right, that tear off. Okay, people don't tear it off. They just tear it a tiny little bit.
Then
they put their, and then they can dribble their milk out of that, and then they put the cap back on, and then they leave it there. Well, why is it so hard to just continue pulling so that the whole thing comes off? Because if you take it out of the fridge and you pour it and it's not aligned with the hole, then it will go everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I just want to, and like you said before, which is probably NPC, you want to kill them, but I think you could be right.
But you're not allowed to kill them because of the European Court of Human Rights. You believe that?
No.
All right. Thanks a lot, Neil. This text says, I love next door to a skate park. Well, that's awful.
Disgusting.
Where children can see. I'm assuming it's a typo, but these days you just don't know. I love next door to a skate park. What does that mean? You've just done a thing on the end there. What does that mean?
So if you turn it on its side, it's a nice little heart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a nice little message for you.
Oh, it's a mathematical less than symbol.
Yeah, it's
symbol.
A mathematical less indication than. Of a lovely time we're having together here in the studio.
Okay, let's not get carried away. Robin Bristol says, Nick, I totally agree with you. I live in Bristol near Cliff Downs, just taking the dog for a walk in the cool, and the morons are out in force. Barbecuing, smoking pot, leaving their rubbish everywhere. People are just entitled, no responsibility, and it's entirely young people under 30. Yes, well, isn't it always? No, not always. Mostly. Not always. Let's have Richmond. Angela.
Hello.
Angela. What?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to say about Kew Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
There's more to Richmond than Kew Gardens, you know. There's the Riverside.
Yes, I've been there. I'll tell you what the problem with the Riverside is.
Yeah.
They allow people to to set up a PA system and then play the most excruciating music badly for hour after endless hour. And they got restaurants all over the place. They got
where?
What do you mean where?
Where in Richmond is that happening?
Riverside.
And they, where Riverside?
It's called Richmond Riverside. Do you actually live in Richmond?
Oh yes, I do.
I'll send you a map in the post.
Okay, great. I can't believe that's happening in Richmond.
I can't believe it's happening in Richmond. Every time I go there, you go to Richmond Riverside for peace and quiet. You know, the river's going by, it's lovely. People are sitting.
Whereabouts in Richmond Riverside? Richmond Riverside is a big place.
No, I think it's actually called Richmond Riverside. And it's where, listen to me, it's where the terraced seating is.
Yeah.
I think there's a fancy restaurant, which is one of a chain. I think it's Scott's or something like that. And there's restaurants all around. Do you know where I'm talking about now?
You haven't explored, Nick. You haven't explored.
I don't need to explore. I know where I want to go. But what I don't want when I get there is somebody murdering classic songs.
Which is fair enough. which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But there's also Kew Green. There's also Richmond Green. There's also Richmond Park.
Yeah, I've seen Kew Green. There's nothing on it. It's just
Marble Hill Park.
It's just grass for as far as the eye can see. I've seen Ham House. That's very nice.
It's not just grass. Richmond Park isn't just grass. It's
yeah, mostly.
If you go into Pembroke Lodge, there's gardens there, which are not quite nice.
Right.
And Ian Dury has a bench there. And also, from Henry VIII's Mound, you can see through a vista into St. Paul's Cathedral.
St. Paul's Cathedral, that famous view that you're not supposed to interrupt. Yes.
That's right.
But none of it compares to Kew Gardens, which is why I keep going there.
Yeah, but Kew Gardens is full of tourists in the summer.
Angela, it's not full of anyone at any time. Kew Gardens can never be full at all. It's vast. There's stretches of Kew Gardens where you could walk for 10 minutes and never see another person. What are you talking about? Full. 0345 6060. And I'm right, by the way, about the what do you call them? The buskers. All day long. I don't know how the surrounding businesses have allowed that to take place without complaining to the constabulary. And they're uniformly dreadful. And they sit there playing away with a loud PA system for hours. Nobody gives them any money. At all. I've never seen anybody give any of those people any money. And I've sat there for hours. And yet they persist. They're getting this from the audience.
Boo!
And they think that it's a round of applause. Amazing. Why are they allowed to get away with it? It's not just it's not just them doing their thing. It's that they take over the entire area. Same in London. Exact same thing. That buskers take over the entire area. Why are they allowed to do that? There should be a show of hands. When they show up, they plug in, maybe do one song, and then by law, there should be a show of hand, would you like me to continue? And unless over 50% of the people that are in the area that they can be heard in put up their hands and say yes, then they should be like sent away immediately. To prison, perhaps, for the appropriate punishment. Maybe I've gone too far. 0345 6060 973. It's just past 12:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The White House says Donald Trump will only make a deal on the Iran war, which is good for America, following his meeting with national security officials. They've been gathering to discuss a potential agreement to extend the existing ceasefire. A man, woman and child have died after falling from a high-rise block in South London. The Metropolitan Police says emergency workers were sent to the Elephant and Castle area on Wednesday morning. And Vladimir Putin's been responding to accusations a Russian drone crashed into flats in Romania by saying there's no way of knowing without any evidence. Sir Starmer has condemned the Kremlin's forces. Two people were injured in a border area. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland but staying dry across the rest of the UK overnight. There could be some rain in the far northwest towards dawn. We'll see a low in Scotland of around 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Switch your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and give your gut and your summer a lift. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Picture your car. You want to sell it, but you feel trapped by the chains of your finance deal. Now, listen closely. Hear that? That was the sound of your car selling and the cash hitting your account. It's easy to sell your financed car on Motorway. We'll handle the admin and pay off the finance for you. It's not magic. It's Motorway. Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk. Process may vary in case of negative equity.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345 6060 973. Let's have Leeds. Dave.
Evening, you're right.
Yes, there.
Yeah, just want to ring in support of you. I mean, I'm in the 50 plus club now, so I'm very borderline incontinent, but you've made me wet myself tonight. About
50 years old. You made it.
Yeah, 51 now, but
yeah. So I'm over halfway there.
Senior youth worker, and I've done it 33 years, so I'm getting beyond it. But basically, I start thinking, we've got a skate park on the roof of one of our youth provisions. We've done tonight, 6 till 9. And the skate instructors, they're about 20, 21, 22. And I'm thinking they don't have a long life ahead of them, because realistically, they get to about 30. They ain't going to be able to skate. And, you know, realistically, they've not got a long career.
No.
I'm 51, I'm feeling old now, and as a youth worker, I was the youth worker for the parents of half these kids I see now, and I think, you know, it's great to have this provision,
yeah,
but realistically, it's not a long career. You're talking 30, you're finished, you're not going to go past that.
As a hobby, I mean, people. I know people do it as a career. Like, I know there is a very, very small number of people who actually make money doing skating. But you don't even really want to be doing it. To be seen to be doing it in public over the age of, let's say, I don't know, I would say 30, but even 25. I mean, it's a kid's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. I ought to ring and support you, because, I mean, even in my profession, I've got to sort of draw the line and say, realistically, you draw the line as teenagers, yes, but in your 30s, no.
You must be ready to take a break. You've been doing, you've been a youth worker for how long?
I was 18 when I was a trainee youth worker. I'm 51 now, so I've done it 33 years. Yeah, 33 years.
How have you managed to put up with those kids for that long?
It pays well, but no, I mean, in fairness, you've got to have a passion, and I am passionate about opportunities. I think opportunities are the main thing when it comes to youth work. You know, if you give opportunities, you give support to people, it's very rewarding, but realistically, you've got to draw the line. I mean, again, we could go into pensions and getting a pension.
Yeah.
You know, 60-year-olds, you know, you get too old to do this job. You've got to move on.
I would say, yeah.
You know, I'm 51 now, and I can't do this at 60.
You said that... 60, you've got, yeah, you know, sorry to interrupt, mate. But, yeah, but you said that you had... You were kind of joking, but you had been the youth worker for the parents of the youths that are now under your care. Is there any difference between... What was that? Is there any difference between what kids were like back then as to what they are like now?
Yes, in many ways, I mean, you look at the new influencers, you look at the social media, you look at all the social media stuff that's going on. I mean, back in the day, when I was 18 and I was a training youth worker, you didn't have social media. You know, that was a long time ago. Your WhatsApp groups caused mayhem. Your Facebook groups caused mayhem. You know, all the social media platforms caused mayhem. It was a very simplistic way of working and simplistic way of dealing with young people. Now it's very complex and it's very difficult and it's very hard. There's a lot more safeguarding issues than there were many years ago. It is. It's a different way of working. It's a different way of being. When you have a conversation with people, it's a very different conversation to what it was 30 years ago. You know, things are very different when it comes to youth work and youth provision. And I think also attitudes and opinions. We're dealing with a lot of misogynistic issues these days. We're dealing with a lot of things, you know, trying to educate people. I think education's a key, you know, educating people about racism, about misogynistic. We're left to do that now, whereas it used to be the parents. It's no longer the parents. It's down to youth workers and teachers. Teachers have a tough job. Teachers and pastoral workers have a very tough job. You know, in schools, they're left to do everything. They have to be the social worker, the nurse, the doctor, everything in a school. And I just totally support everyone who works in that environment, because they have a very tough job.
Yeah.
Parents don't want to do it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk these days about NEETs, people who are not in education or training or work. Do you think that kids these days have a different attitude to work?
Totally. I was 13 when I first got my job. I was working in the markets with my dad at 13 years of age. I had a post. So I did a paper round at the weekend. Saturday I was in the market with my dad. Sunday I was doing a paper round at 13 years of age. Those opportunities aren't there. There's no paper rounds anymore. There's no papers anymore. Working in that environment doesn't set anyone up. Most people don't start work till they're 18 years of age. They might get an apprenticeship at 16. You know, you might go and be a plumber or an electrician at 16 and work at college and go and do that apprenticeship. But realistically, there's no part-time jobs anymore. There's no Saturday jobs anymore.
So you don't buy the narrative that the kids these days, they don't want to work and they're lazy and they just want to be influencers and make £1 million, and anything less than that, they're not interested.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you on that one.
I'm not saying that that's what I think. I'm saying you agree with the narrative that...
Well, let's put it this way. The opportunities aren't there that they used to have. There's no paper rounds. There's no Saturday jobs. They're not there. But then again, there's teenagers that want things handed on a plate to them. They want you to hand something on a plate to them. I worked hard to do what I did. I worked hard over the years to study and work hard to get to where I am. And I've done that over 30-odd years. There's a lot of children and young people now that want it handed on a plate. You know, let's not be around the bush here. There's a lot of people that just want it handed to them. However, the opportunities aren't there. There's no Saturday jobs. There's no weekend jobs. You know, the paper rounds don't exist. So it is more difficult for them in many ways. But don't make excuses. There are some lazy kids out there as well. There's some lazy young people that don't want to work. They want it handed to them. They don't want to put the effort in.
All right. Good to talk to you, Dave. Thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. Carmel says, hi, welcome to the Nick Abbott Show, bashing skateboarders. Like to see you do it, Nick. You'd probably break a hip. Yeah, I'm hip. I'm with it. I assume that's what you mean. I wouldn't want a skateboard. I'm not 12. What are you talking about? You'd like to see me do it. Well, I'd like to see you do it. So, no. Joanne says, when I was young, there was a Keep Britain Tidy campaign that literally shamed you and I into putting unwrapped sweets in the designated rubbish bin. Unwrapped sweets. I think you mean sweet wrappers. Into the designated rubbish bin. Even as a child, when no one was watching. I'm not sure I paid any attention to Keep Britain Tidy. I mean, I remember it as a thing, but I don't recall it actually changing my behaviour, because I was never a person to drop rubbish on the ground in the first place. And it just blows my mind that people don't think about it. I just can't put myself in their shoes. I don't get it. Same with the putting the feet on the seats and the turning the music up really loud late at night and all that other stuff that bothers other people. I mean, I just have a thing in me, which I thought that everybody did. Unless there was some sort of psychopathy gripping them, that you wouldn't feel comfortable doing something that would upset somebody else. I mean, isn't that a thing anymore? I suppose not. 0345-6060-973. Newport. Hello, Gary.
Good morning.
Gary.
Skateboarding. Well, I'm 61, and I remember in the 80s buying a skateboard. I was 15 at the time.
Yes.
And there was a pungent smell of, like, orange.
Orange?
With the skateboard wheels. Remember the funny smell in the shop?
No.
It was a weird smell. And I could not state what a waste of money.
What a waste of money, what?
Buying a skateboard.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you can practice and if you have a knack for it and you can do impressive things, then I guess it's not a waste of money. But if you can't do any of the above, then I guess so, yes.
I can't do any of it. It's nonsense.
Why did it smell of orange?
I don't know. It was a strange... I think it was the wheels.
The wheels?
It was the rubber.
Smelled
the
of
rubber.
Orange. Right. I didn't know that.
It was an orange smell.
Right. Okay, well, we certainly have learned something today on this show, yes?
No.
Thanks a lot, Kerry, for that mystifying call. Sorry to hear about that waste of money. Ken in Harrow says, coming back from my run, I challenged somebody to take a leak under the no urination sign in Harrow. That don't make no... Well, It makes sense, but it's probably not advised. He says, coming back from my run, I challenged someone about to take a leak under the no urination sign in Harrow. There's a no urination sign in Harrow? Where? As I went by, I called, oh no, mate, don't, in a faintly despairing note, and it seemed to be enough to put him off. Previously, I'd been horrified to think we even needed a sign. Yes, well, the only reason that they put the sign up was because people were urinating there a lot. You know, as they do in central London. It's worse when there's a function on, like a football match, when, like, vast crowds will descend on Trafalgar Square and disassemble the place and leave rubbish that's up to your knees. I mean, literally, over the entire area, rubbish will be up to like, knee height. And smashed glass everywhere, like it's Christmas and it's snowed. It does actually look like that in the streetlights at night. Crushed glass. You're playing a urine hopscotch when you leave the building and walk through the West End. It's everywhere. Rivulets of urine everywhere. I mean, presumably they need to pee because they've been drinking a lot of beer. Could they not go to the toilet in the place that they bought the beer? Maybe it's a shop. Okay, so, you know, there are urine stations in the middle of the West End. There are toilets somewhere, but I suppose when you really, really need to go, you need to go right now. And that is, you know, wherever they happen to be. I think maybe there should be more French-style urinals popped up in the middle of the road. You know, one that you actually go into so that it affords a certain level of privacy, not those plastic ones that are just... They're really quite extraordinary. I've seen a few of them in the West End, and they just, how to describe it? It's like peeing against a lamppost that's a very, very fat lamppost. It's about sort of 4 foot wide, and the urinal holes go all the way around. So you are literally peeing in public. Everyone can see you see what you're doing.
Disgusting.
Can you believe that? So I think something, you know, in between the two. No toilets, bad. Those things that we got at the moment, not that great. Unless you're really, really drunk, then you just don't care anymore. But maybe, could we afford to be a little bit more French? Just a smidge. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Is Andy Burnham right to say that life is harder now in Britain than it was in the 90s? And GPs vote to explore a Netflix-style subscription service. Is that a good idea?
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
5 across, full of positive swagger. Sorry, at HMRC, we can't help you fill gaps in a crossword. But our new website can fill gaps in your pension and tax knowledge. Nothing cryptic, just simple explanations about the basics to help you get tax confident and understand how tax works in retirement. To learn more, search HMRC Tax Confident. Oh, that's it. Confident.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep on going under.
Get that Toyota electric feeling with the all-new, all-electric Toyota Urban Cruiser. Available with 0% APR representative and £1,500 deposit contribution. And save £1,500 with the Toyota Electrified Saving. Visit your nearest Toyota centre. Price from $299,995. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 30th of June 2026. Optional final payment. Indemnities may be required. See website. Conditions apply.
They say go big or go home. But now you can go big at home with the Big Arch on delivery. When you're hungry for something big, like really big, Big Arch for big McDonald's hunger. Order on the McDonald's app. Saved from 11 a.m. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery orders. Subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
Your time is valuable. Your perspective should be too. The Economist cuts through the noise with the stories that truly shape your world.
How can you believe that a new regime won't crush you just like the previous one?
Online scams are stranger than they've ever been.
When the world's turned upside down, know which way is up. Read, watch, or listen to The Economist.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Bex Hill. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I want you to talk about my three children.
Yes.
So we've been talking about NEET and people not coming through and not getting work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three NEET, if you like. Well, okay. They're not NEET, but one has just graduated, one is still in university, has decided not to go to university. And since the age of 18, all of them have worked. 30, 40, 50, 60.
So you don't have NEETs at all. You got the opposite of that.
Yeah, but they've all worked 30, 40, 60 hours a week.
Right. And how's that working out for them?
Well, they're being educated.
Yes.
Working. They're doing probably what you did in your time. I don't know how old you are.
Oh,
but
probably not. If they did what I did at university, then they're going to fail.
Doing turkey plucking and working in McDonald's.
Oh,
and
poor little turkeys.
Oh, my God. But they work. They go and work. And people say, the kids, there's no work out there. There is work out there. Absolutely, there is
work. There is a lot of work out there, but it's jobs that people don't want to do. But, you know, that's...
Doesn't matter.
Well, that's what I think as well. I did all sorts of... You name it, I've done it.
Exactly. So did I. I did the whole lot. I did sweeping up car parks. I did bringing up big lumps of metal in a local manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
Whole thing. And kids these days are like, I've got a university degree, so no.
Here's the thing that I think is the difference between us and them, and it's mobile phones. Mobile phones tell them that the route to success is doing a little silly dance on TikTok and getting a million people to give it a thumbs up, and then you get paid a six-figure salary for not doing very much, and then you can retire to Dubai and drive around in a Lamborghini. That's what their phones are telling them.
Excuse me. I totally agree with that. You know, my kids are tech and sharp and all that kind of stuff. But they still get their asses out and go to work.
Right.
I've got... if you don't mind me saying, my two older daughters, who went out to work, and my younger son actually printed out a business card, and he went round all the local businesses. I said, don't go to the big places, don't do it online, don't go to I'm sorry to say these words, your Asda, your Tesco, whatever. Just go around with your business card, the local businesses, with your business card.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What? Yeah.
He had about 10 job offers.
Right. Do something unusual to get people's attention. Yes. I mean, if you fill out your CV, then presumably if you're going for any kind of decent job, then your CV will be at the bottom of the pile of thousands of others. And what the person who is tasked with filling that position will do is put them all in the bin and hire the person who just happens to be standing in front of them.
It'll all be on, and these days particularly, it'll all be on AI.
Right, that. Yes, that, yeah.
Charlie, he's 16, if you... no, he's 18, sorry. he can go around, he can get any job he wants.
Right, regardless of how old he is, yeah. Okay, good to hear it. Thanks a lot, Andrew. There you are, you see. They're applying themselves. John says, hi, Nick. I'm currently on vacation in the Philippines, where it's always nice and warm. Go to a beach here full of families. When they leave, they take all their mess with them. However, the sea is full of junk. Lots of it, with EU labels on it. I wonder where most of that's come from, says John. Well, I would assume that if it's junk with EU labels on it, it will have come from China. Because we don't produce junk in Europe because of the expensive nature of our workers. If it's junk, then we get it made in China, which is closer to the Philippines than Europe is. I mean, I don't know that is a fact, but I'm just going to assume it's true and look it up later. In fact, that's a lie. I'm going to never look it up and just assume that I'm right. Curious that the beach is clean, but the sea is full of junk. Why would that be? I mean, overflow from tankers, or not tankers, you know, those giant cargo ships, perhaps. Sarah says, hi, Nick, you were talking about Fox's new boldness at the moment. I was reminded of the time that I got mugged for my water bottle in Thailand by a macaque, says Sarah. The damn thing unscrewed the lid too. Oh, no, they've become self-aware. That's right. And those monkeys are, they're seriously dangerous because because morons. It's the same problem with everything. Morons. People will have fed them. And so they came closer to us. And then they started to demand, because they got used to people feeding them. And so they thought, these wobbling blobs of fat are a source of food. And when they go up and they, you know, they do their holding their hands out, expecting the food, and it doesn't arrive, then they get angry, because they're wild animals. They haven't gone crazy, they've just gone wild. It's what they do. And then, as these wild animals start to come closer and closer, then they will communicate, at some point, one of their diseases to us. Which happened the last time, with a bat. But it'll happen the next time with, you know, a monkey or whatever it might be. And then we'll all have to go back to putting a blooming mask on and and walking according to the arrows around a supermarket.
Damn it!
Richmond. Hello, Neil.
Hi. Yeah. Nick, sir, just listened to your show.
Yeah, sorry about that.
She skates. She skates in Richmond.
Who does?
Yeah, and there's no PA systems there.
Who skates in Richmond?
My daughter, Mia.
Oh, we missed that bit. Your daughter skates in Richmond?
She does indeed, yes.
Whereabouts in Richmond is there a skate park?
There is two specific places that she goes to skate. Okay, and one is down by the riverside, where there's PA systems that you think are playing out loud. They're not.
They are.
I've never heard them.
Well, you can't be talking about where I'm talking about. But anyway, go on. In fact, I've never seen anybody skating in that area, so we're not talking about the same place. Okay. But carry on.
So, there we go. I just wanted to really rectify and ensure that, you know, you're not talking, love listening to LBC. But I got so offended, actually, I had to call.
Really? Okay, thanks for registering your offence, Neil. I've upset another one. I can't believe that people are so upset about blooming skateboarding, can you? I mean, I'm going to have a go at darts next. Gary says, Nick, I'm shocked. Last year, my Alexa informed me that you had two tails, and now it says you have a tail, which you wag happily when you see your friends. Is this a fact? Yes, yes, Gary, it is. Michelle from Brum says, but the weird thing about my tail is that it's not where you think it might be. Michelle from Brum says, people talking loudly on mobiles, the cure for men doing it is lean in close and say, come back to bed, darling. It shuts them right up. Yeah, I would be very, very cautious before saying that, Michelle.
Warning, warning.
Yeah, check that you've got backup before doing that. Right, thank you for your attention to this matter. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Global Player and the new LBC app. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. with which you can enjoy all of that skater controversy, of which there was a lot. Who knew that people felt so strongly about it, about, you know, an idle pastime? It's called Nick Abbott, the Whole Show Podcast. The Friday and Saturday shows get put up the internet as podcasts. I think you'll love them. It's on Global Player and the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. I'll be back tonight with my normal abnormal show. Coming up before it's Tom Slater, but first, on LBC, Clive Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news at 1... Labour leadership hopefuls Wes Streeting and Andy Burnham have responded to Tony Blair's attack on the current state of the Labour Party. Both have accused Tony Blair of not understanding today's challenges. Are they right that things are much tougher for millions of people than they used to be? Plus, GPs have voted to explore an alternative strategy, a plan B for running their surgeries, introducing a Netflix-style subscription that you could opt into for extra services. Is something like that inevitable? We'll talk about that and much more straight after the news at 1, which is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The White House said Donald Trump will only make a deal on the Iran war, which is good for America, following his meeting with national security officials. They've been gathering to discuss a memorandum of understanding, which is aimed at extending the existing ceasefire. David Schenker has worked in the U.S. Department of Defense. He believes Iran's nuclear program will have been a major talking point.
I think that ultimately this will include some agreement on the highly enriched uranium. You know, there's a bigger issue here that the president appears to have ceded already, which is ending permanently Iran's right to enrich. It says in the MOU that the White House has signed off on and published that there will only be discussions about how to limit further production of highly enriched uranium.
For the first time, the UK and the other G7 nations have committed to adopting a joint approach to protect children online. Talks have been held in Paris and have also been looking at the risks being posed by AI chatbots for youngsters. The group of nations has agreed to a set of new shared principles. The Metropolitan Police has written to technology companies asking for an update on moves to make smartphones less attractive to thieves. The force has already said it's prepared to request the Home Secretary takes action. Calls have been made for a public inquiry after a Canadian man linked to more than 100 UK deaths admitted to aiding suicide. Relatives of people who bought his products online are also angry 60-year-old Kenneth Law can't be extradited and then tried in Britain. The sister of Adele Zainab Welton died in 2022. She's been telling LBC this should not be the end of the matter.
Unless there is a public inquiry, we will not learn any of the lessons. We will not learn from the failings and the missed opportunities. And all of the deaths, and most importantly, we will not prevent future deaths from happening, and it will continue to happen.
South East Water is saying supplies have now been restored to nearly 6,500 customers in Kent. The company's been blaming incredibly high demands during the hot weather. It's now saying around 800 homes are still waiting to be reconnected. The record label Universal Music Group says it's rejected a multi-billion pound takeover offer. It's reported to be worth around £48 billion. The company says it's being fundamentally and materially undervalued. And in sport, Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open. He was beaten in five sets by the teenager João Fonseca. LBC weather becoming dry for Scotland and staying dry across the rest of the UK overnight. It'll be warm in the southeast, but we'll see a low in Scotland of around 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC,